जयंती आप विश्वपाल परमहंस परिवाराचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्री शिव सिद्धानंद सरस्वती महाराज श्री प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंद श्याम कुमरा ठाकुर गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मलेपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनामाई की तुलसी देवी की భక్తివేదానంద స్వామి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవారి పాశ్చాత్యదేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ
ఓం
నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ
ఓం
నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం అజ్ఞాన క్రీడాంగస్య జ్ఞానాంజనాయ వందేహం శ్రీగరు శ్రీయుధాపరకమలం శ్రీగరు వైష్ణవం శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహనరమాధాన్వితం తం సజీవం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపదాం సహగణ లలితాం శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవిం గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశధారిణీ నమో విష్ణుప్రదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తిసిద్ధాంత సరస్వతీ నామినే శ్రీవర్షభానుమీదేవి దైవాయాత్మవాధయే కృష్ణ సంభక్త విజయానందాయినే ప్రభవే నమః మాధుర్యోజన ప్రేమాద్యా శ్రీరూపానుగవర్పిత శ్రీ గౌరగణాశక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దినదారిణే రూపానుగవిరుద్ధాపశ్రీకాంతమందహారిణే నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబరసాంబోధే పదాంబుజాయ దే నమః నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచిదానంద నామినే శక్తి స్వరూపాయ రూపానుగమనాయ రే గౌరవ్యభవభూమేష్టా సజన ప్రియ వైష్ణవా సర్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయ దే నమః వంశకల్పారుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధూభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః నమో మహావదాన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయనే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరప్రత్యుషే నమః పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూప స్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాత్రికం హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే దివ్యవందారణ్యకల్పద్రుమాద శ్రీమంద్రనాగర సింహాసనస్థో శ్రీ శ్రీరాధాశీల గోవింద దేవో ప్రస్తావినీ సేవ్యమానో స్మరామి మంగళసరసారంభి శ్రీపదతటస్థిత తప్తాంజన గౌరంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ
वृषभानुसुदे देवी नमामि हरिप्रिये जय कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्रीमदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे
हरे राम राम राम
हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण
कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे
हरे राम राम राम
राम हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण
कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे
हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। What you can remember that if you look back into the previous verses, from the 11th chapter, Krishna told Arjuna that the last three verses in the 11th chapter, where Krishna mentions there that the he started saying to Arjuna that the and if you look into Bhagavad Gita, you'll see there that what actually how Krishna introduced the 12th chapter into the 11th chapter itself. Krishna mentions there that at the end of that universal form, Naham Vedarna Tapasa, Nadanena Chejaya, Shakya Evam Vido Drishtam Dushtavanasimam Yatha, Krishna is saying that not by studying Vedam, not by austerities and penances, not by charities, not by performing sacrifices. Naham Vedarna Tapasa, Nadanena Chejaya. Shakya evam vidho drashtam drashtavanasi. You will be able to, will not be able to see me in the way you are seeing me now. That means that particular realization of universal form is exclusively, Krishna is saying, only in a particular state you can realize that form. That's why it mentions like that. Shakya evam vidho drashtam drashtavanasi. Mamyada. Then added to that, Krishna mentions there, bhaktiyat ananyaya shakya ahamam vidho jana. Ananya bhakti is what is makes that qualified for a person to see me in that particular way. Bhaktiya to ananya shaktya ahamevam vidha arjuna. Yadum drashtum cha tattvena praveshtum. Three things he mentions there. Yadum drashtum tattvena praveshtum. In other words, to know Krishna as he has shown that form and to see that and to enter into Krishna. Krishna is saying like that. Praveshtum cha parandava. And then Krishna concluded that chapter mal karma krita mal paramo mal bhakta sangavarchita. That's the 11th chapter finishing with that verse, isn't it? Nurvaira sarva bhudeshu yasamameri pandava. Krishna is saying there mal karmaha mal paraha mal bhaktaha sangavarchitaha nurvairaha sarva bhudeshu yasamameri pandava. That is how Krishna finishes that 11th chapter. It is from that verses that the question came up from Arjuna, isn't it? Arjuna's question in the 12th chapter beginning with that, with these three verses in the 11th chapter behind, triggered that question from Arjuna, evam satata yuktai bhaktastam parivasade. So 12th chapter, the introduction, the first verse which has come from Arjuna, is due to the three verses from the previous chapter. So Krishna says there that when Arjuna asked that question, what was Arjuna's question? Bhaktastum Bhajivasade or Ejapi Aksharam Avyaktam Teshange Yoga Vitama. Which one of them is best? Who does Aksharu Vasana or Brahma Vasana or Ejapi Aksharam Avyaktam, unmanifested form, that means who follows the process of Brahma realization, or Sadhava Yutaye Bhaktastum Bhajivasade, who follows that process? Because it's a very interesting question in the sense that in many chapters before that, Krishna has spoken a lot about the impersonal Brahman also, particularly in the 8th chapter and few chapters before that also. So therefore, Arjuna had this serious question to ask, whether which one is better, whether to follow the impersonal and manifested form of Brahman realization, or the Sadhava Yuktayam Bhaktastam Vedivasare, as a devotee to perform the Bhagavata Dharma. Which one is better one process? Krishna is saying, in reality, Arjuna, it is not the process that makes it important. What is important there is the Shraddha in that. Whichever processes you are following doesn't matter, but in that process, what Shraddha do you have? That is one thing Krishna answered there. My Shraddhaya Parayo Vedas Teme Yukta Tamo Mada, Krishna says there, one. Secondly, he also says that the first process of impersonal realization will be difficult for those who have got two problems. One, who is very much absorbed in this world, number one. Number two, who are very much in the bodily concept of life. Both of them will find it difficult, that process. That's how Krishna answered that question. Those who are absorbed in this world to a large extent, that means who consider this world as very real and there is a lot of things to be done here, and those who think are very much in the bodily identity. Both of them will find, those who have got this difficulty, they will find that process very, very difficult to follow. Therefore, Krishna is saying that, Ejapi Aksharam Avyaktam Teshange Yoga Vitama. Krishna is saying, Maya Vesha Mano Yeman. Fix your mind in Minute Yukta Upasade, who follows me in that process. But, Shraddhaya Parayo Vedas Teme Yukta Tamo Mada. So from there, Krishna has started specifying the different processes which we have seen few verses now. Krishna mentions there that for those who are absorbed in who are in the bodily concept of life, which means that they are finding very difficult to overcome the grip of the mind on the body. That's what it is. Bodily concept means that the mind has got a very the body has a strong grip on their mind. To loosen it up is very difficult. For many people, it's very, very difficult to loosen the grip of the body on the mind. They find that very hard. So, for such people, but whereas other people, there are people who are very relaxed about the body and they can stay on the freedom from that body is to a large extent in them, in their understanding. So that's what Krishna is saying. So, for them, it will be a very difficult process, this unmanifested form to pursue. Or to Akshara Brahma, in other words, which was discussed in the 8th chapter. Avyaktam, unmanifested form. Aksharam Avyaktam Teshamge Yogavitama. So, therefore, he recommended this process of Bhagavata Dharma. For them, he says, he mentions there, few verses there you will see, starting from the verses onwards, that is the after. So, when Krishna mentions that, in the second verse, Maya Vesha Manoyamam Nitya Yukta Upasate Shraddhaya Parayo Vedasteme Yukta Tamo Mada. He also mentioned a few things there to make us more clear to us. Etu Aksharam Anirdesham Avyaktam Parivasate. The third verse, Sarvatra Gama Chindinja Kudastam Achalam Dhuvam. The nature of that impersonal absolute, he's discussing there. We have seen all that, we have spoken about that. And he also mentioned, Saniyamendriya Gramam Sarvatraha Samabuddhayaha Te Prabhnuvandi Mameva Sarvabuddhahiveradaha. All that is aspect in reference to that impersonal Brahma. Then he said, Klesho Adhyadarastesha. It is difficult for most people who are in the bodily identity and who are absorbed in this world, whose vision is very external, who have no internalizing capacity. Then Krishna brought in the other Bhagavata Dharma, which is Krishna consciousness. Yedu Aksharam Yedu Savani Karmani Mai Sanyasya Milpara Ananyeneyo Yogena Mam Dhyayantam Upasade. And he spoke about there that Sarvani Karmani, that is an important thing. Sarvani Karmani Mai Sanyasya Milpara. Krishna is saying there, when one can offer all his karma to Krishna, we have discussed that. What does that mean actually? Sarvani Karmani Mai Sanyasya means that it's not that we do everything and then say to Krishna, I offer everything to you. That's not what it is expected from that. What Krishna is saying there is, Mai Sanyasya Malpara. Malpara is important there. That means in all states or any work, whatever that's carried out, when there is complete surrender inside, that karma is happening through this body. Krishna has performing that karma through this body, and in a completely surrendered state, when one executes that karma in that way, it becomes malpara. Malpara means that. Malpara means that surrendered state, that without any ego rising inside, that I am the doer. If any karma is carried out, that it is due to Krishna's activities happening through this body, I am just an instrument in Krishna's hands. Krishna is the operator, I am the machine, in other words. In that state of consciousness, if the karma is executed, Krishna says, and that will be a karma, that is what it is in the Bhagavad Dharma. Because it also explains that same words in the 11th canto, Kayena Vacha Manasendriyava Vidyalpanava Prakriti Subhavaya. Prakriti or a nature in a person, Subhavam and Surubam, two things. Subhavam in a person will engage him in different activities. But that Subhavam, whatever karma it brings to that body, Krishna is saying there that Mai Sanyasya Malparaha, that completely renounced state that Malparaha surrendered to me, if it is executed, Ananyeneva Yogena. Ananyeneva means Ananyatum is important, isn't it? Ananyatum means, see what Ananyatum means. Ananyatum means that Sri Narada Maharshi talks about that in the Bhakti Sutra. Narada Maharshi describes that, Bhakti Sutra, what Ananyatum means. So that Ananyatvam, that separated from Krishna, there is nothing happening in this world. Krishna is behind everything that's happening here. That is that Ananyatvam, that realization inside. Mam Dhyayantam Upasate. His Upasana, which we have seen what Upasana means, isn't it? So that Upasana, Krishna says, is the process for those people. Then he talked about that such a person who is engaged in this world, in Krishna consciousness activities, Tesha Maham Samudhata, Krishna says. It's like a guarantee certificate there for that, other words. Tesha Maham Samudhata Mrityu Samsara Sagara. Mrityu Samsara Sagara. Bhavamina Jalpata Maya Aveshita Chedasam. All that is the supporting verses for that, verse number six. Yeah. Teshamaham Samsara, that's verse 7. Then Krishna mentions there, Mayeva Mana Adhatsva, Mai Buddhim Niveshaya, Nivasishyasi Mayeva Adha Urdhum Na Samshaya. Krishna wanted to clarify there, one who has given up everything to him, to Krishna, Mayeva Mana Adhatsva, Mai Buddhim Niveshaya. Buddhi, or intelligence, the mind, all of them are completely in Krishna's control. He lives in me, Krishna is saying. Nivasishyasi Mayeva. He lives in me. He has handed over his mind to Krishna. He has handed over his intelligence also to Krishna. And one who executes this Bhagavata Dharma in that way, Nivasishyasi Mayeva. He lives in me, Krishna is saying there. Adha Urdhum. For him, Krishna says, Adha Urdhum Na Samshaya. He can only go up, not go down, under any circumstances. Even if he does not make it perfection in this life, he will still move further upwards, not any time downwards. Then he spoke about that. Then we have seen in the next verse, he gave the next option. Suppose somebody cannot do that. Atha chittam samadhanam. Krishna says, a person who has to do that, this Bhagavata Dharma, he has a lot of difficulties. In Bhagavata Dharma, all the time to be surrendered to Krishna, and all the time in service of Krishna, it may not happen. For many people it is not possible.
all the time surrendered to Krishna. Because false ego, the very nature of false ego is such that when you see that you have brought it under control, the very next moment you will pop up again somewhere. That's the very nature of the ego, isn't it? Jivatvam has come from that. So therefore, this Rajaskandam, what talks about this Bhagavata Dharma, which was discussed very elaborately in the 11th canto, is what is summarized here as Bhagavata Dharma, which Krishna is talking about here. That may be difficult. In that case, Krishna says, there is another thing they can do. Atha chittam samadhanam. Please start working on their subtle body, Krishna says. What is that? Atha chittam samadhanam na shantnoshi. Chittam is not agreeing. The subtle body is not in agreement. It's driving him into difficulties. In that case, he's saying, na shantnoshi mai sthiram. He's not able to fix that in me. You can see that sometime happening with people also. That when everything goes well for some time, suddenly something happens, it derails the whole thing. Like a train derails from the track, it derails, isn't it? Why? Chittam has played its game. Chittam has not come under control. So that's why Krishna is saying, Atha chittam samadhadum na shaknoshi. If you cannot do with the chittam, practice abhyasam. Abhyasam is the only way left then. Abhyasa yogena tato ma michavtam dhananya. Through Abhyasa Yogam, Krishna says, you come to me. Krishna recommends that process of Abhyasam. Actually, no process is simple in that way. We may say that there are so many processes, so many options. But no process is simple. Spiritual life is like that, isn't it? The Kathamanishad says that, Churasya Dara Nidam Durateya, that just like walking on a razor edge, that is, any moment, anything can happen. Mind can drive us into completely off the road. So Krishna says there, Atha chittam samadhanam na shaknoshi mai sthiram. Then practice it. Abhyasa yogena tato maam ichchaptam dhananjaya. Then, if that is not possible, some people will say abhyasam is also difficult. Therefore, he talked about this. Abhyasebi asamartosi, Krishna is saying. If you are asamartha, if you are not that samartham, if you don't have that capacity to do that abhyasam, mat karma paramo bhavan, mat artham avi karmani kurvan siddhim avapsyasi. He says, that mat karma paramo bhava, do everything keeping me in the center, and mat artham avi karmani kurvan, everything is done for Krishna, you do everything. Mat artham avi karmani. There is a difference here in each of these verses. In the karma, in the Bhagavata Dharma, what you have to remember is that Prarabdham has put us in different situations in this world, is it not? Everybody is not completely taken to Krishna consciousness, unfortunately due to various reasons, whatever that may be. So for them, Krishna said Bhagavata Dharma in the sense that the earlier verses, what he mentioned in the Yadu Sarvani Karmani, my sanyasya malpara ananyineva yogena mam dhyanita upasare. Whatever karma is coming through the body, according to prarabdham of surrender to Krishna and do it. That is that what he is talking about there. Whereas here, in the 10th verse, abhyasevi asamrattosi mal karma paramo bhava. Madartam avi karmani kurvan siddhim avapsisi. Krishna is saying, don't do anything else, do everything for me, and in that way you can be perfect yourself. Kurvan siddhim avapsisi, Krishna is saying. You see that difference between the two, isn't it? In the one instance, Bhagavata Dharmam spoken that any karma that comes through this body, because people are put into all sorts of situations in this world where they have no control over it. Is it not? We have no control over it. We think that we have control on anything. We have no control on anything what happens in this world. Practically, Krishna has put us into certain situations. Sometimes you can see there are so many people in this world, due to circumstances, they have to work very, very long hours in this world. And inside is burning. They don't want to do it. They have a desire to engage in spiritual life, but due to attachments or due to specific situations, what they have been involved,
they find that very hard to come out of it. And while doing that karma, what is going through them, due to prarabdham, whatever that is, due to prarabdham, when that is happening, Krishna is saying, you don't have to cry. Krishna's point is there. Then what he says in that seventh verse, he's saying there, sixth verse, Yadu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara ananyeneva yogena maham jhayantam upasate. Krishna says, I'll take care of that person if he is in that surrendered state, lives in this world, completely surrendered to Krishna. Whatever comes through this body, accept it as the karma that's happening through this body. Krishna is the operator, I am the machine. In that way. If he lives in that way, Krishna says, you can, he takes care of that. Tesham aham samudrapa. There, that guarantee was given. And here in this verse, Krishna says, if you cannot practice it, change your style of karma. Do everything for Krishna. Abhyasevi asamarthosi. Abhyasam is not possible in controlling the chittam. Abhyasevi asamarthosi. Mal karma paramo bhava. Mal karma. Everything is Krishna's karma then. Maramo bhava. Mal artham. Abhi karmani kurvan siddhim avapsisi. He says, if you keep doing like that, everything is for Krishna. Nothing else for me. Nothing for me in this world. If you do like that, kurvan siddhim avapsisi. Krishna is saying like that. Kurvan siddhim avapsisi. Siddhi means here, perfection. In other words, siddhi is nothing but perfection. After saying that, we saw the last words we were discussing last Saturday was, Adhaidavi ashaktosi kartumad yogamashrida sarva karma bharatyagam yadavyatahatmavan. The next choice. That is, Adhaidavi ashaktosi kartumad yogamashridaha. That even that has become difficult for someone. Adhaidavi ashaktosi kartumad yogamashridaha. Engage in that yoga system. What is that yoga system? Sarva karma bharatyagam. Whatever karma is performed in this world, the bhalam is Krishna's. Krishna is the enjoyer of the result. I'm not the doer, Krishna is the enjoyer. I'm not the doer, Krishna is the enjoyer. Kartrutva, bhoktrutvam, raga, dvesham, four things make our material existence, isn't it? In the second chapter we have seen that. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Attachment and aversion. These four things is combined together is called samsara, material existence. So freedom from that is that when all the results are given to Krishna and all the I am the doer, kartrutvam is taken away from inside, we have come out of that to a large extent. Kartrutvam bhoktrutvam va, it says. So here, adhaidavi ashaktosi kartumad yogamashrada. Practice that yoga system, Krishna is saying, sarva karma bharatyagam. Everything that comes from karma is Krishna's. Good or bad, everything is Krishna's. Sarva karma bharatyagam. Whether it's good or bad, doesn't matter. Both are for Krishna. Yatha kuru, tatha kuriyat atmavan. Who does that? Atmavan. One who is in the in that state. Okay. So that's what we were discussing last Saturday. So far we have seen that. Now, we have seen also idea of that is that if we keep doing like that, chittam will get purified. Purification will happen inside. So, what does chittam, what does purification means? Purification means raga dvesham, attachment, aversion goes away and the false ego comes down. False ego comes down. So, this is what it is, and only in that situation the knowledge of the self will come out from inside. Nothing has to come from outside. It's already there inside us. Inside us, it's already there. Satta, Chitta, Anandam. Three things. Isn't it? Inside us, it's the very definition of the soul is like that. Sachidanandam. That soul by very nature is eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. What's happening to us is, at the moment, because of covered by avidya, ajnanam or ignorance, that realization hasn't happened. So how does that happen? That's what Krishna is saying here. That when you continue this, what? Madaktam abhi karmani kurvan siddhim avapsisi. When it happens in that way, slowly this inside, the subtle body will get purified. Subtle body will get purified. It's a long process. And then the false ego inside will go. False ego inside will go. That means purification is happened inside. The symptom of that is, when one is getting pure, the symptom of that is his desire for escaping from this material world will become very strong. That is the symptom of that. The desire to escape from this, which in other words in Shastra call it as mukshatam. Mukshatam is that he wants to escape from here, doesn't want to come back again to this material body again. That is the symptom of that purification has happened inside a very high degree. That's how it happens. So, and he will find attraction to the spiritual world, in other words, spiritual reality. He will get attracted to the spiritual reality. In the Bhagavatam, you will see when they talk about Prahlada, this thing. If you look in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see there in the 7th canto. There are a few verses. What was Prahlada's state of consciousness while he was in this world? 5-year-old boy, when he was living there in the Hiranyakashipu's palace, whatever, wherever he was, he mentions there about Prahlada a few things. Is it not? Mentions there that Prahlada was like this. Srinarada Maharshi talks about Prahlada. Prahlada was like this, he says. He says, Nairya Daste Sama Adhishta, 39 verse, in 5th chapter, that they were they were torturing him. Who was torturing? Hiranyakashipu's agents. They were torturing. Actually, it is the 4th chapter. This is how Prahlada was living in this world. They talk about Prahlada. Why did that happen? Because the purification inside is so high that Asinan begins with 37, verse 37 from the 4th chapter. Nyasta kridanago balo jadavatan manastaya krishna graha grihida alma naveda jagadi drisham. He says that nyasta kridanago bala, a child 4 or 5 years old, normally children of that age will be fond of playing here, isn't it? A little more attracted to playing all the time. They want to play. But this particular child had no attraction for playing with other children. He had no attraction to play with others, the children. For them, that's the most important thing, isn't it? For children to play, that's their very nature. Valastaval krida sakta. When they are children, play. That's their main happiness in life, just to play. Nyasta kridanago balo. When he saw the other children, he had no attraction to play with them. Then, jadavattan manastaya. Jadavattan manastaya. When you look at Prahlada, he was a jadam. This jadam means what? Jadam means no attraction to the world. You talk about Bharata Maharshi also in the same way, isn't it? Jadabharata he is called. So jadam is that state that you have no attraction to this world. You are here in this body. Body is here in this world, but you are not in this world. That state. Jadavattan manastaya. So that was Prahlada. At that age, he was like that. Like Jadabharata. He was at such an early age. And Krishna graha grihi dalma naveda jagadi drisham. That Krishna graha grihi dalma. That is a very poetical way of saying actually. Krishna graha grihi dalma means, in astrology normally when they will say you are under the influence of certain planets. Say for example, if you are under the planet of Jupiter, or Saturn, or Mercury, you have different corresponding results from that. But here, none of those planets have caught Krishna. So have caught Prahlada. It is the planet Krishna himself has caught him. That's why it is, they have used that word like that. Krishna graha grihida alma. Krishna graham has caught him. Not Jupiter or Mars or Mercury or Saturn or anything, but Krishna graham. Krishna himself as a planet is compared to a planet. Krishna is compared to a planet and said, Krishna graha grihida alma na veda jagadi drisham. that he does not know what was going on in this world, had no knowledge of what was happening here. That was the state Prahlada lived in this world. Asina paryadan nashnan shayana prabhiban bhuvan nanu sandatta medani govinda parirambhidaha. Asinam paryadan nashnan shayana prabhiban bhuvan. When he is sitting somewhere, or while he is walking, eating, sleeping, or anything, whatever he do, speaking. Shayana prabhiban bhuvan nanu sandatta medani govinda parirambhidaha. Although these things were happening in the body, he was not in that. That's what he is saying. That in after self-realization this happens. That they will do all the vyavaharam what is necessary. All the things what's necessary in the world will be still done. Body will be doing everything what's required. But they will not be involved in that. They are situated in their realized state. That body is not anymore acting under the instructions of the mind. Normally when we do something, the mind thinks and mind makes a decision and then we do something, isn't it? But for them, it is different. That they will be doing several things, whatever any other material body will do, that will be done by them. Asinam paryan ashtan shayana prabhivan bhuvan. He says, nani sandhata medhani govinda pariram kira. But completely absorbed in the soul, completely absorbed in the absorbed in Krishna. This is Prahlada's state of consciousness at that time. Kuchil drudhi vaikuntham chinda shabala chetanaha kuchil asadi dachinda ahlada vulgayadi kuchil. And it was very fascinating for others to watch Prahlada. Why? Sometimes kuchil drudhi vaikuntham chinda shabala chetanaha. Sometimes he will kujal drudhadi vaigundam. Sometimes he will cry. Why does he cry? He was thinking that, oh, others are wasting their time. Why they are not taking interest in Krishna consciousness? This way, he was feeling the misery of others he experienced. Why they suffer through in this world? In this way, he was crying that they are not taking shelter of Krishna. They are not taking shelter of Krishna. They are not surrendering to Krishna. They are not realizing that the opportunity given to them for self-realization, they are not utilizing that. In that way, he used to feel compassion for others and then cry. That was his thing. And sometimes, chinda shabala chetanaha, that the thoughts that come through him, and in kochit asadi dachinda akhada ulgayadi kochil. Sometimes thinking about Krishna, thoughts went through, thinking about Krishna, he used to feel extremely joyful inside. That surrender, because of the surrender all this is happening. Prahlada's surrender is famous in the Bhagavatam, is it not? Prahlada was so surrendered to Krishna, that whenever he was absorbed all the time, in that surrendered state, he was enjoying that Krishna's activities. So, sometimes what he used to do, tachinda ahladam ulgayadi kochil, he will feel so excited that he will sing about Krishna. He will sing about Krishna. Then, nadadi kochit ulkando bilajo mrityadi kochil chujit bhakujit tar bhavana ayukta tanmayo anuchakaraha. Sometimes, nadadi kochit ulkando bilajo mrityadi kochil, sometimes he will chant the holy name very loudly. And not only that, sometimes without thinking about the situation, he will start dancing, chanting Krishna's holy names. And sometimes he will identify with Krishna in that way. Kojitad bhavana yukto tanmayo nichakaraha. So that he will, like the gopis did, some of Krishna's activities, the Prahlada used to act in the same way. Like Krishna's different pastimes, Prahlada used to engage in them. Little boy, 5 years old, naturally so attracted to Krishna. Kojil palaga dushni maste samsparshan ruraha aspanda pranayananda salila milide kshanaha. So sometimes kojil palaga dushni sometimes become so ecstatic about the singing about Krishna, and not only that, tears comes from Prahlada's eyes, and sometimes he will close his eyes and stay very quiet. These are all the nature of that ecstatic feelings what Prahlada was experiencing at that time. So, in the Bhagavatam, this was mentioned because you can see here that that when that false ego goes away from inside, only then these things can happen in a normal way. When the false ego, the false ego is the thing inside that is putting a cover on everything. In fact, we may do sometimes chant the holy name, dance, everything, but still behind that the ego is there very much, operating in a very strongly. To freedom from the ego is not an easy thing. That when that has happened for a devotee like Prahlada at that age, so different from all his other members of the other children who were with him at the school where he was taught, Hiranyakashipu had sent him to study with other children. Other children had no interest in this, but Prahlada alone was able to stay in that state. Why? Prahlada himself says that later, that I was given instructions from Narada Muni. It worked for me, for my mother it didn't happen. He mentions that later, isn't it? So, these are, this is what happens. Bhartahari says about this. Bhartahari was a famous personality in Kalidasa's time. He spoke about this. He wrote this famous book known Vairagya Shataka, 100 verses on renunciation. It's a famous book. Where he mentions the same thing, that many, many great sages who are meditating on Krishna, absorbed in the reflection on the absolute truth, they sometimes in Himalayas, he says that there are these great personalities who sit there for years and years together, and in due to their absorption in Krishna, in this realization of the truth, sometimes tears come from their eyes. Tears come from their eyes. Their hair has grown so big, they are saying that the birds have created some, built some nests in their hair. The birds, so they sit there for so long, the birds found it as a place for building their nests. And when they see the tears coming from the eyes of these great yogis and jnanis or devotees, they go to them and drink these tears that's coming from their eyes. Bhartahari says this in this book. He says there, Dhanyanam girikandareshu vasatam jyotiparam dhayatam anandashrukanadibandi shaguna nishangakamankshaya asma gautumanoratho varijita prasada vipra prasada vabitada krida kanana kelige keli kautuga kautuga jusha ayutparam kshiyate. Then he mentions there, when they are drinking the tears of the joy that is coming from their ears, these birds are drinking that. When that is happening, he says, normal people, they are busy with the world outside. Exactly opposite. He says, asmagam tu manoratham. People who are absorbed in their mind, mental chariot in other words, they got absorbed in this world and they are feeling that there is some happiness in this world somewhere which I haven't got yet. So they are searching after that. Bhartahari says there, those who are transcendentally situated, their tears coming from that, the birds are drinking their tears, the tears of joy that's coming from there. So, and they feel the taste of that tears that comes from there. So, that tears, he talking about that, is that bhakti inside. That is bhakti. Bhakti means this, that completely surrender to Krishna. And in that surrender, that happiness that's coming from the soul, that is bhakti. That is bhakti. In this Bhakti Yogam chapter, in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, what you will notice there, is the bhakti that is discussed after self-realization. To a large extent, that's what is spoken about. Then you will see here many things what Krishna is going to talk about from now on, is to a large extent, is a devotee who has already come out of this bodily identity, and that para-bhakti, what he will execute at that stage, That's what he's talking here. That Krishna mentions there, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see in the 14th chapter of the 11th canto, you will see there's a verse there that what is that Anandashru? Anandashru means the tears of joy or tears that's coming from the eyes due to that bliss that he is experiencing. This is amazing. If you look at the 14th chapter in the 11th canto, you will see there that katham vinaro maharsham dravata chetasa vina vinananda ashrukalaya shuddhe bhaktya vinashraya. Katham vinaro maharsham dravata chetasa vina vinananda ashrukalaya shuddhe bhaktya vinashraya. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, one who has come to that state of pure bhakti, and while he is speaking, he is already choking. He is unable to speak because his mind has practically gone away. The mind is not functioning anymore. And he is feeling that separation from Krishna so intensely. And sometimes, vinananda ashrugalaya, due to that blissful feeling inside that Krishna has given him that kripa or mercy to him, that Krishna is pulling that devotee closer to him. That's what happens at that time. When the devotee gets pulled closer to Krishna, vinananda ashrukalaya and shuddhir bhaktya vinashaya, he purifies the whole world, he says. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, such a person purifies the whole world, the personality like that, who's so pure inside, that purity inside. Indicating that purity inside. Vad gadgada dravadeyasya chittam. Next verse. Rudatya bhishnam hasadi kochicham. Vilajam udgayadi nartyadeja. Madbhattu yukto bhovanam punadi. Krishna is talking about a pure, very pure devotees. It's their state, Krishna is saying this. That is how they purify this world. By their very presence in this world. It's in the 14th chapter. 23 and 24 verses. So there in that 14th chapter is all about bhakti. All about bhakti in the Bhagavatam. So that is what Krishna has spoken about. So, and Krishna also put one statement there. Vina ananda ashrukalaya. Vina ananda ashrukalaya. That ananda ashrukala. Ashrukala means tears that's coming from the eyes. Tears of what? Tears of joy. Anandam. From the happiness of the soul. From the soul. That's coming from there. That is the flow of bhakti. Krishna is saying. The flow of bhakti is coming through those tears. But that state won't come, he says here, vina bhaktiya. Without that bhakti inside. Without the bhakti inside. In other words, asmanda pranaya ananda salila nivilidekshanam. A state comes when there is no pulse inside the body. It has, he has become completely transcendental to this body. So, it, practically, this will only happen in pure Krishna consciousness, in pure bhakti. This is what will happen. This is the state of the realized persons. When they are experiencing the blissful nature of the soul. The soul has this quality, isn't it? Satta, Chitta, Ananda. Eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. That bliss is that Anandam that is spoken in the Bhagavatam and what is spoken here. That bliss is that thing. The bliss that's coming from the soul. Here, one thing is that when that experience comes inside, the simultaneously the realization of who I am will happen inside. When the chittam is pure, completely pure, and these tears of joy is coming from the eyes, what Krishna is mentions here, this is the bhakti after self-realization. Simultaneously, what is existing in him, he is also is conscious of who he is. That bodily identification is completely left him at that stage. It doesn't come to him anymore. If you look into the third canto, you will see this, where Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi, what will happen to him at that? So, some form has appeared inside Krishna's form, what he has meditated upon, or the deity he has worshipped, all that form inside, and pure bhakti, because all the ragadvesham has gone away, false ego has left him, the place is very pure inside for Krishna to manifest. When Krishna manifests in a heart like that, it is so pure that he will feel that bliss naturally coming through different senses it manifests. Through the eyes, the tears and joy will flow. Same time, he is also experiencing his identity, that as a spiritual identity, in other words. No more identification with the body. What Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi is, at that time, the form he has worshipped will also disappear from inside. You will see that in the third canto, 28th chapter, verse 35. What Krishna says?
Muktashrayam yarhi nirvishayam viraktam nirvranam rachyati manasahasa yatharchi Almanam atra purusho avyavadhanam egam anvikshade pratinivrta gunapravaha. That's a very important verse. Why is it important? Because when bhakti develops in a heart, in a person, bhakti develops and it becomes very intense, that he is completely purified himself through bhakti process. In other words, all the attachment aversion has left. The ego has gone away completely from inside. When that happens, he will understand what he is. That identification of the soul will come from inside. It will tell him who he is. He will know that he is not this body anymore. You can't educate someone, I'm not this body, by any process. It will remain on an intellectual level then, isn't it? It will remain on an intellectual level, or an intelligence and mind will capture. Once we come to spiritual life, we have to say goodbye to mind and intelligence. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. Because these are topics not meant for mind and intelligence, it meant for the heart. Meant for the heart. If it is experienced, then you can certify that this is all true. Up to that time, we have to simply accept it as a purely on a intellectual level. There is no other way. But the principle is this: what Krishna is saying here is that when bhakti develops in the heart, when Krishna gives that bhakti to somebody who gets that bhakti in the heart, automatically purification will come to such a level that all attachment aversion goes away from the heart. The ego has completely gone away, means the subtle body is totally pure inside. No ragadvesham, no ego. That is completely wiped out. The result of that is, in such a heart, the soul has to shine there. In other words, identification with the body he loses, and he knows what he is. That he is the soul, not this body what he is. But, why that is spoken in the third canto is, Kapila Vasudeva is saying here, Muktashrayam yarhi nirvishayam viraktam, that by now, what has happened to the mind? This mind is a very fascinating phenomenon, isn't it? Everybody studies about the mind. But from the Vedam, from the Upanishad's point of view, mind is a powerful energy that comes from the source, the soul, and which operates through the whole time of vacant state and the dream state, and then it dissolves in the deep sleep state. It goes away. So, mind, when this happens, the mind is finding that there is no shelter for the mind. In other words, mind has no place anymore to stay. Mind also needs some activity. How does mind survive? Mind survives because we feed the mind with the different things. Is it not? Why the yogis control their diet so much? Because from the food has a big influence on the mind. So they control the diet. Similarly, jnanis control the mind for another reason. What the jnanis do, they completely reject the mind. They wipe out the mind totally.
the yogis focus it on one point in their meditations in some form, or they will try to focus that. Jnanis completely wipes out the mind. Even for devotees also, eventually the role of the mind moves away. Mind cannot function anymore after a certain stage when this realization starts happening. When the purification has happened inside, mind has nothing to enjoy afterwards. Mind has only one thing. It acts as a mediator between the senses and the sense objects. Practically, senses brings all the sense objects to the mind and feeds the mind with everything. The mind gets absorbed in that sense enjoyment, isn't it? So that stops there. It's finished. So mind has nothing to do then. So what will the mind do? Mind is in a very difficult situation. That's what Kamalavasudeva says there. Muktashayam yarhi nirvishayam virattam nirvana marchadi manasahasa yatharchim. Is that the only way the mind will subdue itself is like this. When bhakti develops in the heart, automatically mind knows that I am not wanted anymore. I am not welcome anymore. Whole Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita is all one, talking about this one subject, mind. Whole problem is from there, isn't it? So it mentions there, nirvrana marchadi manasahasa yatharchi, that he has lost its job, in other words, mind. Has nothing he can do, so he totally goes away. Where has he gone? Nobody knows. He goes. Just like the way when he has come, we don't know where he has come from, isn't it? Similarly, the way he goes also, we don't know. The soul, the chit-shakti, satya chitta anandam, isn't it? It is from the chit-shakti that the mind wakes up and it is going back to the same place where it came from. This is the Kapilavasudeva statement on that. The where does the mind go? Mind goes from where it came from. It goes back to the same place. Then what does he say here? Almanamatra purusho avyavadhanamegam anvikshade pratinivurta unapravaha. What has happened now is that few things have happened. What is that? First thing, the three modes of material nature is withdrawn from him, from that person. Gunapravaha. Gunapravaha means the three modes of material nature. Prati nivurta gunapravaha. Nivurti has happened from the gunapravaha. Nivurti means freedom from the modes of nature. So, almanamatra purusho avyavadhanamegam anvikshade. What will happen now is, when the gunapravaha has stopped, because normally in our mind, what happens in the mind? Gunapravaha. Isn't it? Chitta vritti comes. This chitta vritti is nothing but gunapravaha. Different modes, the different thoughts comes. Is it not? Some thoughts that's coming through is in the mood of goodness. Some thoughts are in the mood of passion. And some thoughts are in the mood of ignorance. So, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, the three modes of nature, and their flow is called gunapravaham. And gunapravaham brings that thoughts to the inside, and what that is what is called the mind, isn't it? Mind is nothing but chittavritti, the flow of thoughts. And ikshade pratinivurta gunapravaha. Once that flow stops, there is no mind after that. Is it not? When that flow of these chittavritti thoughts waves, that's coming to, if it totally stops there, then where is the mind then? There is no mind, mind is gone. At that time, what he says here is, Almanamatra purusho avyavadhanamekaha anyikshare pratinivarta guna pravaha. What will happen to him is that, then because the mind has gone away, mind has withdrawn, identification of the body is gone. Identification with the body has gone. It is through the mind we identify with the body. Is it not? You know, that we identify the body through the mind. So if the mind withdraws, mind is not there, then this is what we were discussing last Sunday also, that body and the soul, actually they have no connection. It is our ajnanam inside is telling us, because we are very thickly coated with that avidya inside. Our intelligence is very thick coating of this ignorance inside. We do think like this, that I am this body, and body is mine, and this body is for my enjoyment. Three things. I am this body, body is mine, body is meant for my enjoyment. These three things, to remove it from inside, is a very difficult thing. It's very difficult because it's so deeply rooted inside, and that is why we are in this body. Practically, we are in this body because of these three ideas inside in us. So what will happen? And this strong bondage between the body and the soul, what we are experiencing now, is due to the presence of the mind. Presence of the mind. So when this mind goes away, what does Krishna says? Atmanamatram purusho avyavadhanam ekam anvikshate. He realizes that there is nothing I have to do with this body. This comes to him first. Atmanamatra purusho avyavadhanam ekam anvikshate. That's what Kapilavastu says there. So he sees there, there is only, why did I, what was happening to me? Many, many great devotees and jnanis, they have spoken this. That they were saying that after self-realization happened to them, when they have freed themselves from the grip of the body, mind, intelligence and all, they are saying that, is that all I had to do all these times? Why did that not happen to me before? They have spoken like this. Many personalities have spoken like that. Because this connection with the body, what we are at the moment, what we are in that Brahman, they call it as Brahman illusion, isn't it? That soul cannot have any connection with anything. It is a totally independent and totally and perfect also, all states, isn't it? But due to avabodham, consciousness, that consciousness, when our intelligence is covered with this ignorance of ajnanam or avidya, we tend to identify with a particular body. Body did not come to me. It came on its own. Isn't it? I didn't ask for it. I have no choice what kind of body I should have. It's given to me. I have to accept it that way. Isn't it? And it will leave me also without asking me. So practically, what control do I have on this body? If you analyze it carefully, you will see there that this body has nothing to do with us. It is something that Ajnanam Avidya has gone so deeply inside. Only on a subtle level one can accept this, because Krishna is explained. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna starts with that. Asatya Satya, he talks about that, isn't it? Nasado Vidyade Bhava, Nabhava Vidyade Sada. Ubhayorabhi Dishnuvandam Sanayor Tattvadarshivi. Tattvadarshi says certified like this, Krishna says. In other words, Krishna says, it's not my words. Those who have realized, they have spoken in this way. That's how he puts it. Tanayor Tattvadarshivi. Tattvadarshis, that means he's talking about the great sages. They have certified that Satya and Asatya are two different things. You cannot mix them. They will not mix. But when avidya is there, body, mind, intelligence, body, mind, intelligence, ego, this is all asatya. The soul alone is the sat, but it's all mixed up at the moment, and that is why this confusion is what we have now. Interesting thing, if you look at it this way, we go for so many funerals, so many people die, isn't it? So many people die, we go there. And then we will say, oh, that's all life is about, isn't it? One day it's all finished and gone. It hardly stays for a few minutes inside. Why is it like that? Why does that we does not take it very seriously? What is the reason behind it? You can think about it. It's a very important subject. Why does it have any impact on me? I see so many people dying, going, godbrothers left, friends left, family members left, so many gone from this world. Went for all of their funerals and whatever that was, say, anniversaries or whatever, they went for everything. But still, it doesn't have any impact on me. Why is that? What is the reason behind it? There is a very valid reason that if you analyze it, you will know that, what it is. What's happening is, it is either due to knowledge, or due to ignorance. It's one of the two things only. It can happen. Isn't it? Either I am so much realized that it does not bother me anymore. Or I am in such a deep ignorance it doesn't affect me. Also. It's one of these two only has to happen. Isn't it? Think about that. You see, what's happening is that in all circumstances, when death happens, the soul inside every one of us is sending some signal to us. There is no death. There is no death. That is the most important message what we get from inside. Where from it's coming? That aham aham inside, from the soul. This is not known to us. Yogis and jnanis knows about this. They talk about this very much in depth. That this message that's coming from inside, that death is not a reality. I cannot die. It is not possible. That is why that verse in the second chapter, Nasado Vidyade Bhav, is so important. That Sat cannot be destroyed. Sat has to exist under all circumstances. So, even when we attend all these funerals and all that, death party or whatever we want to call it. So, Vishwamitra, you just look at it. People are dying, going, bodies are dying, going away. Still, inside that signal from the soul indicating to us, death is not a reality. Death is for the body. This is why, if you remember, in the Yakshavitam, in the Mahabharatam, that question was asked by to Yudhishthira Maharaj by the Yaksha, isn't it? That's called the Yaksha Prashna. It's called Yaksha Prashna. That Ahanyahani Bhudani Gachandi Giriyalayam. That what is the greatest surprise in this world when they asked? Yudhishthira Maharaj said that people are dying and going in Yasham Stavaram Ichandi. Others are saying, no, it's not happened to me. I will be alright. I'll stay there. And it is a fact. That it is a fact. Well, it is not. It is both actually. It is due to knowledge and it's also due to ignorance. That's what that statement is coming. Now, here is more interesting. You may ask the question, how can that be? Isn't it? You may ask the question, how can it be? How can it have both knowledge and ignorance same time? If knowledge is there, ignorance cannot be there. Or if it is all ignorance, knowledge cannot be there. This is where your intelligence is trapping you. Intelligence, you get trapped there. Because intelligence tells you it's not possible, but spiritually it is possible. That's why I'm saying, intelligence cannot help you in spiritual life. Intelligence is actually an obstacle there. To put your brake on that. Intelligence is looking for logic. Whereas spiritual life is not logical. That's the most important thing. Spiritual life is never logical. As I mentioned so many times, that so many things we'll do every day in the name of spiritual life, so many activities people do, everything. But from somewhere unknown, somewhere in the world, some personality will realize the truth. It may not be necessary that has to happen within all of us. It may not happen. That's the way it is. That's no answer question to that. Why so? There's no answer to that. Because that is why inside, the soul gives this feeling all the time from inside, from unknown source that's coming from inside. There's no such thing called death. There's no such thing called death. And it is not having any impact on us because of that. Because soul is saying there is no death, from outside you are seeing all the funerals and the death, it's not having any impact on me. This is the reason behind it. It's a very important thing to think about. Important point to think about. We are all going to all kinds of funerals, isn't it? We mourn, we sing, what is that song? Anilo Pramathana. We sing all these things. That's all very nice. We sing for the departed soul and all. We say, well, he's gone back home, back to Godhead, obvious. Sometimes we say, when he died, we cry about it. Sometimes when people die in some accident or something, we say, oh, that was very sad. We don't know what has happened to him. But this is coming from that jnana side. Knowledge is not that. Knowledge is this. Krishna is saying here, Nasado Vidyate. If you have accepted that verse, all your other conclusions, you can leave it behind. It's all meaningless. If you have accepted that verse. Nasado Vidyate Bhav. Where can Krishna say, how can there be a death, thing called death? He asks that question very openly, isn't it? That is why that verse is so important in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying there is no such thing. And in some cases where it has impacted on someone, you will see the difference also. Who? Parikshit. Look at Parikshit. As soon as he was told that he is going to die in 7 days' time, it had an immediate impact on him. And all Sukadeva Goswami has done to Parikshit was at the last minute, what did happen to him? He says to Parikshit, Parikshit, you don't die. What dies? If Takshara wants to take your body and burn it into ashes, let him. After all, you have nothing to do with that body.
Mm-hmm.
So that clear separation from the body and the soul, that's what has happened to Parikshit at the time of leaving that body. He says to Takshara, you can take this body and do whatever you like with it. And that's why he says goodbye and goes away from him. So in the same way,
Almanamatra Purusho Avyavadhanamegam Anvikshade Pratinivurta Guna Pravaha.
That verse is so important in the third canto. Sometimes, now and then you will see Sudeva Goswami speaking certain things in relationship with self-realization at different places. And you have to get it at that time. Otherwise, the story goes on. He keeps repeating, talking about the various processes of the 8 chapters. It's in the Kapilam. Kapila Maharshi is verse to the Avadhi Devi, talking to the mother. But certain times you will notice that Shiva Brahmarshi, Sudeva Goswami is saying to the Avadhi Devi, my dear mother, when this happens, Muktashrayam Yahi Nirvishayam Viraktam Nirvanam Rachati Manasahasa Yadharchi, when the death of the mind happens, he says, Almanamatra Purusho Avyavadhanam Egam, that Alma from inside, he wakes up. It is the same thing in the yogi's language when they talk about, you must have heard about this thing called Kundalini.
Mm-hmm.
Kundalini's waking up is the same thing. But in the Ashtanga Yoga process, that is how they talk about it. In Jnana Margam, it is spoken in this way. So, different processes, but what is happening, whichever way you want to connect with that, it's one and the same. Just because it is spoken in the yogi, people sometimes misunderstand that in yoga process, Ashtanga Yoga is another process. By one's own effort, everything has to happen. Or Jnana Margam. In all processes, if there is no Krishna's mercy, nothing will happen. Whether it's Jnani or a yogi or a devotee, doesn't matter. Whichever process it is, Krishna does the thing what is necessary for that person at that time. So, Almanamatra Purusho Avyavadhanamekam, that he realizes that Dehadi Ubhadi, that means all the Ubhadis have gone. Means body has gone, mind has gone, intelligence has gone, ego has gone. Ubhadis have gone away. They got burned. They are not existing anymore. In our vision, it exists. But for him, they don't exist anymore. For one whose mind has completely wiped out or burned, whereas there is no mind there inside anymore, for him the body is not existing anymore. It's something which we have to experience. Although you can explain about it, but still, till it experienced, it is difficult to come to terms with it. That is what saying there. Almanamatra Purusho Avyavadhanamekam. Same thing Krishna mentions later on, isn't it? Dehastobi na dehasta. That's what it is. Dehastobi na dehasta. He is in the body, but he is not in the body anymore. That's it. He is in the body, but he is not in the body anymore. Vidvan Sopnad Yathothina. Krishna is saying, what has happened to him is, that when you wake up from the dream state, in the morning, after a long good dream, you woke up in the morning and then you realize that everything was just a dream. That world what you were for many hours in the dream state, that has gone away. So Krishna is saying, similarly, when this mind gets destroyed, mind gets separated, or mind goes away, and we wake up to our spiritual identity, it is a similar situation. That mind doesn't exist anymore. That is what he is saying here. Almanamatra Purusho Avyavadhanamekam. That means, what will happen at that time is, that Dehastobi na Dehasta. He is still in the body. For other people, if you look at him, he is still in that body. But he, that person, Vidwan, Sopnad Yathothida, he has woken up from this dream of this world. In other words, we are all living in that great dream, isn't it, at the moment, thinking that everything is fantastic here, everything going on very well. So, the important thing is, why Krishna makes all these things very clear, in the Bhagavad Gita also, is this. To think that I can have happiness, happy state existence with this body must go away from inside. With this body, it's not possible. That is the firm conclusion of the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita also. Keeping this body to think that you can be happy is not possible. That's why he's saying like that. That dehastobi na dehasta. Although he is in the body, but he is not in the body anymore. He has left, gone. And vidvat sapna nirotira. Opposite thing if you look. Adehastobi na dehasta. Another person, he is leaving the body. Yeah, he is leaving the body. But what is he thinking about? About his own body. He wants to come back to that same body what he is losing at that time. So therefore Krishna is calling him what? Adehastobi na dehasta kumati, he says. Kumati sapna drikriyatha. That's the word he uses in the Bhagavatam. Kumati means whose intelligence is all twisted, who cannot see things properly. Sometimes Krishna uses some sharp comments like that. He says, Mutha, Mutha, he calls everybody Mutha. Everywhere. Bhagavad and Bhagavatam also will say this word. So many places, Mutha, Mutha. Why? Because we have no mood to do anything, therefore we are Muthas. That's what, why it is. So anyway, that is what that verse is talking about. So Krishna is saying there that Atmanamatra Purusho Avyavadhanamega Manyakshade Pratinivrta Guna Pravaha. By now the modes of material nature has gone from him, and therefore the mind is not controlled by any more by any of these things. So so when these three modes of material nature, Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas, all of them have gone away. Imagine that situation. They have gone away from us inside. Krishna mentions there, isn't it? Sattvam, Rajas, Tama, Iri, Gunam, Buddheyama, Chaitmana. In the Agarsis Kandam you can see. Those three modes are in the intelligence. When they say intelligence, it's in the subtle body. These three modes of material nature. It is there. So, that is why that when the thing has gone away, the modes of nature has gone away, what he experiences, he realizes his spiritual identity without any vikalpam. That's the word for that. Vikalpam means that vikalpam is a word used in relationship with the mind. Mind has got vikalpam. Sankalpam, vikalpam. That's the activities of the mind. Mind throwing different ideas to us and confuses us every time. Is it not? So that is what it is called Siddhi. That's why it is called Siddhi. So here it is not a magic. Because this Siddhi generally referred to, you will see Yoga Siddhi they call it, isn't it? Ashta Aishwarya Siddhi, Yoga Siddhis. For example, you know in the Bhagavatam that discussion about Yoga Siddhis. That you can become smaller than the smallest, bigger than the biggest, walk over the water. Sitting here, you can listen to your conversation happening in America. Yeah. And you can control the mind of somebody else who is far away from here. You can enter into somebody else's body. Paragaya Pravesham, Dura Sharana Darshanam. All these kind of things, these are all siddhis Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad in the 11th canto. You will see there. Ashta Aishwarya Siddhis. There are 8 major siddhis and there is another 10 or so, the minor siddhis, upasiddhi they call it. So, and he also mentions that how those siddhis are attained. But this is not a siddhi in that way. It is not a siddhi here. Because here the siddhi is that he has got back his identity, what he is really, alpasiddhi, getting himself, isn't it? So, never to lose that siddhi again. That means he has gone back Krishna back to himself again. He has gone back Krishna back again. And he is experiencing that identity with the soul continuously now. So, in other words, he loses his own in ignorant state what he was experiencing before in identification with the body. So, after saying this, Krishna is saying here, that adhairabhi ashaktosi kartum mati yogam ashrita. That is that verse. Krishna is saying to him that if you cannot fix this mind in that way, practice it. But if you cannot do that, means mind or intelligence, you cannot fix it in me, try again and again, but as long as you may continuously fail in that process, but continuously you have to try that also, Krishna says. You will notice this in the 6th chapter, Krishna talks about that in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also in the 6th chapter that Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena Chedasa Nanyagaminam. There's a verse there. So, Abhyasa Yogam, Krishna has spoken before in the 6th chapter also, is it not? Yeah. So, Abhyasam is a process. And so many things you can see through Abhyasam it is possible. Abhyasam means by practice. By practice it is possible. So, this Bhakti Sadhana is also like that. Through Abhyasam it can happen, Krishna says. If you continuously practice it, it will happen. That's the way Krishna puts it. So, just you can see like in the, you know, in the circus, what all things they do through Abhyasam, isn't it? It's nothing but Abhyasam. Walking over the tight rope, they walk over that. So many things, wonderful things, which is quite amazing things they do in the circus, is it not? So it's Abhyasam, isn't it? It's through Abhyasam. So Krishna says, through Abhyasam and through Upasana. Krishna also mentioned the word Upasana, isn't it? Upasana is Abhyasam actually, because in Upasana, it's continuous. That's why it's called Upasana. It's not Sadhana, it's Upasana. Upasana, that's the word Krishna has used in that chapter, Upasana. Upasana means continuously absorbed in that. Continuously absorbed in that. So, and through Upasana it is possible, Krishna says. Upasana it is possible. And of all the Upasana, the easiest process is chanting. That's why it's so important. Chanting is the only Upasana which is gives you the least headache or the least difficulty in executing that, is chanting the holy name. Is chanting the holy name. But you have to also remember that everything we say it's easy, easy, easy. But it's not easy. It's not easy. But by saying it's easy, it's not going to happen. Unless you do it. Isn't it? We tell everybody else, oh, it's such an easy process. But we don't do it ourselves. Then what's the use? So that's where the catch. If you tell the rest of the world, you have to do it. Chant. Oh, it's a very easy process, Prabhu. There's no other process as well. But we don't do it ourselves. It is so easy. That itself shows that it's not so easy. Is it not? People are struggling with 16 rounds, or sometimes they say, maximum I can do 4 rounds or 1 round. They all say all different types of things, excuses. Why? Because it is not easy. That's proper way to sit and chant. Why? This mind, who is our arch enemy, he will play its game and he will tell us something else is more important than this life. Take us away somewhere else. So that is why Krishna says here, Abhyasa Yoga. Yoga, practice. Practice what for? So, so you can see how the mind is. Mind's nature, how that works is, just to give you the examples that mind is saying here that when will I finish my rounds so I can have my breakfast? It's not like that. So when you are chanting, you'll be thinking about the breakfast. And similarly, when the lunch time comes, you'll think about the lunch. And then the dinner time, you'll think about the dinner. And when the night time comes, you want to sleep. So an ordinary person's life is completely under the control of the mind and the body. Isn't it? It's only completely under control of the mind and the body. So that is why, so Krishna says here, that mind will cheat you every moment. Every moment, it will cheat you. So, therefore, first we'll sing, or we'll chant a few rounds. The 8 rounds I'll do it in the morning, 8 rounds to the night. Or 4 in the morning, 4 in the lunchtime, 4 in the evening. Like this, we will break it up, saying that, oh, I have so many. Why the mind is not allowing that to happen. So that's where this Abhyasam comes. Abhyasam comes. Abhyasam is for this purpose. Practice it and tell the mind to go away. Do whatever you like. I'm not interested. Just tell the mind, I give you a round the world ticket. You take it and go. and come back when I finish my chanting. You can come back to me. In this way, you have to do it. There is no other easy method. There is no easy way. Chanting is the important thing. At least that chanting will protect us from the influence of the lower modes of nature, even if nothing else is happening. So, if you do that, if you do like that for a long period of time, what will happen is the grip of the mind on the body will get loosened up. Majority of the people, most of us, we have this, we like a good life in this world, we want to eat on time, we want to eat nicely, and we want to have some proper sleep and a comfortable life in this world. At the same time, we like to have some spiritual life also. That is where bhakti is suitable for this process. Krishna says that in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? Namaruvinno nadi sakto bhakti yogostu siddhidaha. You remember that verse? Namaruvinno nadi sakto bhakti yogostu siddhidaha. That one who is not very attached, but he is somewhat attached to this world. And Nanarvino Nadi Sakto, not very attached, little bit attached. And at the same time, he also knows very well that there is something going to happen after death. I have to prepare myself for that eventuality. Higher goal is there in him. So in that state, Krishna is saying Bhakti Yogastha Siddhida. Bhakti Yogam will work for that person. So what will happen is the mind's influence or mind's grip on this body will go away. And little by little that japam or chanting what we have done will develop into manasiyam. Manasiyam means to the mind, it will become a natural process inside. Chanting becomes a regular thing. Without any effort, it should happen inside. And that is when it enters into our bhavamandalam. Or they call it as bhavamandalam. Bhavamandalam means that whatever concept we have in spiritual life, different devotees may have a different relationship with Krishna in different ways, in different modes. It slowly enters into that mode. After a long period of time, when we have lost our grip on the body, when the mind loses its grip on the body, the mind moves away from the body and enters into this another phase according to that devotee's particular aspirations in spiritual life. So, to the power of that bhavana, bhavana means that imagination that is happening inside the mind, that he will come to a state which is beyond that imagination, state of imagination. So all these things happen while chanting the holy name. So first day itself, by chanting the samadhi has to happen, it is not going to happen. So, therefore, so many different processes in the bhakti process, isn't it? Different options for us. Hearing process, kirtanam process, remembrance process, deity worship process, paying obeisances to the deity process, archanam, vandanam, and servitude, serving Krishna in different ways, dasyam, sakhyam, atmanivedanam. Atmanivedanam means eventually. Now, out of these nine processes, if you observe carefully, you will see 8 of them is in your hands. The 9th one is not in our hands. Sharanam, kirtanam, vishnosmaranam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, even sakhyam, including that, can happen in a devotee's life. But only the last one, atmanivedanam, which is called angi. The other 8 are called angam. The last one is called angi. All other 8 ones will lead us into the 9th one, angi. That's why you will see this in the Bhagavatam very carefully if you look. You will see there what happens in the Bhagavadam when it comes to Mahabali's story. Mahabali's story, that's what has happened. That Krishna has shown so much mercy to Mahabali.
We can't even imagine how much mercy Krishna has given to Mahabali. Even Prahlada's grandson is Mahabali, isn't it? Prahlada's grandson is Mahabali. Prahlada says to Krishna, you have not even given me that mercy what you have given to Mahabali. To get a certificate from Prahlada like that is very difficult. Who else is there? Even Srinarada Maharshi is proud of Prahlada. It is my disciple, he says, who has done this. And that Prahlada is saying to Krishna that none of these nine processes Mahabali followed. That's the interesting thing. The eight ones. The first eight. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnosmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam. These eight things hasn't happened to Mahabali. Mahabali was a leader of who? Yeah, the demons. Yeah? Great leader of the demons. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, you won't find another personality who has received the mercy like the way Mahabali got it. What did Krishna say to him? I will take you to Sutalam. Next time you will be the Indra and I will be waiting outside as a watchman for your home. And you can see me all the time standing there, he says. Vamanamurti said this to Mahabali, isn't it? And Prahlada says to Krishna, Vamanamurti at that time, Vamanamurti is Krishna. He says to Vamanamurti, the mercy you have shown to my grandson, you have not even shown to me, he says. Because Narasimhamurti put his hand on Prahlada's head. Vamanamurti put his feet on Prahlada's head. Sorry, on Mahabali's head. And therefore, Mahabali says, Prahlada says, Mahabali is superior. This is only a blessing with the hand. But the feet means that the ego inside has completely sucked out from inside. That is what that... Why do we say to touch the feet of a great personality? Because that's the lowest part of the body. And there you surrender means you are so surrendered to him. That's what it means. I'm so surrendered to that person. So Mahabali succeeded in that surrender. It's an amazing surrender in the Bhagavatam, which you will not find anywhere else. Mahabali surrender. Mahabali surrendered so wonderful that Krishna says to him, I'll be standing outside as your gatekeeper till you leave Sutalam. I'll be there. And people have gone to verify that, you know that. Ravana went there to check it out, whether it's true or not. And he got thrown out from there. Ravana had come back and fallen into his Lanka. Came back there. Rakshishe sarvadohantam sanigam sabarichalam. Krishna says to Mahabali. So, what had Mahabali done? Mahabali didn't do any of these eight things, did he? That is why, in bhakti process, it's not the sadhana that is important, it's surrender that is important. That is where we get it wrong. Most of the time we are thinking, sadhana, sadhana, sadhana we are thinking. No, sadhana you can do, but if you are not surrendered, what sadhana? That's why sometimes we misunderstand that bhakti can easily go in a wrong direction. When we start thinking sadhana won't do it, surrender will do it, nothing else will do it. It is through surrender that Krishna is captivated by that surrender. And Mahabali's example in the Bhagavatam is just to convince us that point. That surrender is the key to bhakti. Just like Shraddha is the key to knowledge. Jnanam is dependent on Shraddha. Sharanagati is the key to bhakti. That is the important point. So, here you will see here that while chanting that holy name, when one chants the holy name, that Mahatmas, great personalities, are given different ways of doing that. To somehow or the other engages the body, engages the mind, and chanting the holy name. Therefore, so some stage by chanting process, we stop chanting and chanting takes care of itself within us. So this is a very simple process, anushtanam. Anushtanam means a daily activity one should perform under all circumstances. So when we do that, abhyasam like that, and we will become experts in that. And in due course of time, Krishna says here that if this cannot be done, adhaidavi ashaktosi kartum mad yogam ashridaha
sarva karma bhalatyagam yatha kurut atmavan. That is that verse, isn't it? So, if you cannot do this sadhana, chanting or any other bhakti sadhana, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnosmaranam, padasevanam, archanam, pandanam, dasyam, the nine processes, eight processes particularly, if none of them are possible, Krishna is saying here, sarva karma bhalatyagam, everything what you do in this world, give the results to Krishna. Let it be for sarva karma bhalatyagam, yatha kuru tatha atmavan, he will become spiritual. Yatha kuru tatha atmavan. So because sometimes people say this, we don't have the time to do all this. We don't have the time to do all this. Because once I go to office in the morning, by the time I get back home, it's midnight, after the whole day. By the time you make your journey through the tube and the underground, all that, by the bus, whatever it is, by the time you get back home, it's 8, 9, 10 o'clock in the night. Now, you can't condemn them for that. That's the prarabdham has come in that way. But has to live through that life in this world. But inside, they are feeling that there is intense desire inside, but due to circumstances, they have been put into that position, put into that situation, that they know they have to travel a couple of hours in the morning to the place of work, a couple of hours in the evening to come back, and then 8 or 9 or 10 hours at work's place. Then what's left then? Isn't it? What's left then to work? So you can see that in big cities how it happens. If you have traveled in the suburban trains in Mumbai, you will see this. What all happens in that train? Meditation happens. People will be standing and sleeping. You won't fall because everywhere around there are people standing next to each other. You won't fall. I've seen women cutting the vegetables so that as soon as they get home they can start cooking.
Wow.
They brought the vegetables in the shop, and if they got the seed, they'll have everything ready, and into the plastic covers, they'll cutting all the okra and all the vegetables, they'll be cutting and slicing and getting it ready so that they can save their time when they get home, they can start cooking straight away. So that is the kind of life they have to live. And you'll also see people are chanting also, some of them. Somebody will be chanting 1000 names of Vishnu, or somebody chanting Hare Krishna. That also you will see in the same train happening. So, Krishna says here that there is no practically any place to sit in the train. He said, no. And somebody is playing cards, somebody is doing all sorts of things in that electric train. That what happens in Mumbai especially, you can notice this very clearly. What goes on like that. So there, Krishna is saying there, sarva karma bhalatyagam. Then karmam has happened, and bhalam may come from karma. Bhalam will come from karma, isn't it? And sometimes bhalam may not be sufficient, in which case you can't do anything. But if there is more bhalam, you will need also something to manage in this world, is it not? So Krishna is saying here, continuously offer that to me. And Mahabali, when he also, Krishna asked the same question, isn't it? Krishna asked for 3 feet of land. Shukracharya says to him, don't give it. His spiritual master is telling him, don't give it. So Shukracharya says to Mahabali, without asking the meaning of that question, that you are saying to him, I'll give it to you. He says to warning Mahabali, that he is not going to ask you only for the land, he said. He's not just asking you for the land, he's going to swallow you completely, he said. So, and therefore don't give it. Still Mahabali gave it, is it not? Mahabali still gave it, and he swallowed Mahabali. You know that. If you look into Bhagavatam, let's see how, what does it say. 10th canto. Sorry. And it is, Gopi talks about that. You know that. Gopi talks about the Mahabali's incident. What happened to Mahabali? It is very surprising. 2-3 examples what gopis have taken from Bhagavatam are very interesting. What is this Mahabali? Other one is Pingala. That prostitute's life. Gopis have taken these 2 examples. Gopis are saying, if you look into the 47th chapter about Mahabali, what do they say? Belimavi Belimatva Bhokshayam Mangshavadhyam. 47th chapter, you will see there. Verse 17. Yeah. Mrigayujiva kavindam vivyadhelubdhadharma sriyamagadavirupam srijida karmayanam balimabibalimatvaveshtayam dvamshavadhyam talamastadadaramasidasakhetustrejatalkadhatha Mrigayujiva kavindam vivyadhelubdhadharma sriyamagadavirupam srijida karmayanam Belimabi Belimatva Veshtayan Dwangshavadhyam Tadalam Asida Sakher Dustyajatal Kathartha. Radharani is saying this. All the gopis together. Radharani is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, your so called friend, what has he done? Look at his track record, he says. If you look into Krishna's track record, it's like this. Without any logic, he gone and killed Bali, isn't it? There is no justification killing Bali. What Bali has done to Ramchandra? Just because his brother Sugriva came and complained to him, he has come and killed Bali, gone and killed Bali. Is that right? Radharani is asking. Has he done the right thing? Then, Vivyadhe Lubdhadharmaham Sriyam Agradavirubham. Shurpanakha came to him, saying to Ramachandra that she wants to marry Ramachandra. And then Ramachandra told, look, I am already married. You go to my brother, he is not married. You go and marry, ask him, he will marry you, he says. So she goes there to Shurpanakha, goes to Lakshmana. Lakshmana says to him, got angry with him, with Shurpanakha, and says to him, if you stay here anymore, I'll throw you out from here. So she goes back to Ramchandra again. So back and forth Ramchandra and Lakshmana were sending Shurpanakha back and forth, and eventually Lakshmana could not bear that anymore and cut her nose and breast everything and made her look ugly and sent her away from there. So this is your master's record. Who says this? Radharani says to Uddhava. Uddhava. He says that Mrigayujiva Kavi Indram Vivyadhe Lubdhadharma Sriyam Agrada Virupam Srijida Kamayanam. Said, I can live with all that, he says. It's not so bad. These things are, I can live with that. But what he has done to Mahabali, he says, is unforgivable. He says, what he has done to Mahabali is unforgivable. Why? Because Belimavi Beliman Tva Veshtayad Dvangshavadhyam Tadalam Asida Sakher Dusteja Talkadharta. He says here that Mahabali, you went to Mahabali asking for something. And Mahabali asked you, whatever you want, you ask me, I'll give it to you. You told him that you don't want anything, just 3 feet of land. Mahabali said, you can have that. He gave it to you. Shukracharya told him not to give it. Mahabali said, I have given my word. He was so truthful to you. And he had handed over, he told you to take it. And you started cheating him straight away. With one foot you measured the whole earth, another foot you measured the whole heavenly planets. And you are asking Mahabali, where should I put my third feet? Isn't it? So that time Mahabali told him, if you guarantee me that the feet won't go like the way it went for the last 2 feet, then I'll show you a place, he said. And then he showed his head to Krishna, Vamanamurti. Vamanamurti took that head and says to him, and then that Belimabi Belimantva Veshtayan Dvangshavadhyam. Why does it mean? What does it mean? It means Belimabi Belimantva. What does it mean is, you know, in the Shraddha ceremony, what is done is normally
you make the wheat balls or rice balls, and they're kept on a plate. You will see this in the Ganga River in many places, in our river also sometimes. And after the mantra is chanted, the Pitru Devadas have to come and eat the offering, bali. They generally supposed to be coming in the form of crow. The crows come and eat that, it means that they have accepted your... This is their belief among the people who offer them. The crows must come and eat, some birds must come and eat that, what is being offered. So, balimabhi balibantva veshtayan dvakshavadhyam. That Mahabali, he has offered everything, and what you have done, you have taken him and took him inside completely. How? Then, you didn't show any mercy to him, to that Mahabali. Tadalam asida sakher dusteja tal kathartha. He says here, I do not want to have any association with these kind of people who are asida sakher dusteja tal kathartha. So, Radharani has a point there, talking about Krishna. So, many people believe that what Ramchandra has done to Bali and what Krishna has done to Mahabali, both of them, they are saying it was not fair. Mahabali hasn't said that, nor Bali has said that. We are saying like that in this world. We are sitting here and judging what Krishna has done is right or wrong. So that's the difficulty. So here you can see here that in the Bhagavatam, when that happened this, Balimabhi Balimattva Dakshayam Nakshavadhyam, that Mahabali offered what Krishna has asked for. Krishna is saying, I am not satisfied with what you have given. Mahabali offered all the planetary systems, everything, because everything was under Mahabali's control, isn't it? Heavenly planets were under Mahabali's control. He has thrown away Indra from there, took control of the heavenly planets. So all planetary systems are under Mahabali's control. And Mahabali is saying to Vamana Murthy, ask anything you want. Tell me what you want, I'll give it to you, he says. And Krishna is smiling, hearing this. It's a very interesting part in the Bhagavatam, that smile from Krishna. Krishna's smile has many meanings when he smiles. One smile, he is completely going to finish you up. That's one smile. In another smile, he will see that you are going through that Maya. How you are suffering through that Maya, that's also another way of smiling. The smile has many meanings. It's in the Bhagavatam, that smile nobody understands. So, Maya. When Krishna is smiling, his Maya is smiling. That's how you have to understand that. So, here what happened was that Mahabali said that you can have whatever you want. And Mahabali makes a list of things. Elephants, horses, chariots, gold. So many things he offers. And finally he says to him, I see you are a nice young brahmachari. Do you want a girl to get married to? Because in them days that was the system. Very good brahmacharis, when they are time for marriage comes, they'll go to the king. They have a right to go and ask the king to find a suitable wife for them, to match, a proper match for them. So it's the duty of the king to arrange the girl in marriage. So that's why Mahabali asked, seeing him as a young brahmachari, told him that if that's what you want, I will find a suitable match for you. So problem that Vamanamurthy is only 3 feet high. It's only 3 feet tall. So probably Mahabali thought that he was finding it difficult to find a girl of the same height. If the wife is 3 feet, husband is 3 feet, wife is 6 foot, how will it look like? Isn't it? So all these complications. Anyway, Mahabali made all this offer to Krishna. Krishna smiled. And then what happens is that Krishna says to Mahabali, I don't want all these things, all I want is my 3 feet, which I have asked for. Mahabali showed the head. And in other words, that is saying to us that Mahabali surrendered himself. That completely surrendered. That is that Atma Nivedanam example given us, Mahabali. So, Mahabali, after offering everything, and Krishna has taken away, how did Krishna take it away? Garuda came and folded his, tied his hands at the back and said to Mahabali, now you have nothing left. So, you have to do what we tell you to do. Mahabali said that is okay. He knew that it was coming and he faced that very gracefully without any difficulty. In other words, What Krishna wanted from Mahabali is none of the wealth, that ego inside. And that, when Bhagavatam says that Vamanamurti put his feet on Mahabali's head, it means the complete ego from Mahabali has gone. He was so surrendered to Krishna. That is indicated through that action. In order to tell us that surrender of Mahabali, that is why it's spoken. Actually, Vamanamurti didn't put his feet on Mahabali's head. Sometimes people say like that. But actually, nothing has happened. Vamanamurti showed his head. Garuda came and tied his hands. And with that, Vamanamurti said, I've got it. And said that, I received the 3 feet of land, he said. Krishna wanted, that is exactly what wants from Krishna from us also. It is that ego is what we are at the moment, isn't it? The ego is what this jiva is at the moment. Once that ego is swallowed by Krishna, means we are in the spiritual identity. We are not anymore on the material identity. Bodily identity is gone. Bodily identity is staying because of the ego. So that is why it is mentioned there that not only all the possessions, but the possessor also. Not only the possessions, but including the possessor. Possessor is more important for Krishna than the possessions. We think that we will give over all the possessions to Krishna. What Krishna wants is not the possessions. Krishna wants the possessor, the ego. Ego is the one who is saying that's all mine, isn't it? So that ego inside, that's what Krishna is looking for. And that's what he has swallowed everything with that surrender of Mahabali. So there, if you look, what Mahabali had to say about it in the Bhagavatam, 8th canto, 22nd chapter, you will see what Mahabali had to say at that time. What Mahabali says about Krishna. If you look in the 8th chapter, 22nd, 822. I think it is the 5th verse. Sorry, 822. What did Mahabali have to say to Krishna? Mahabali says to Krishna, Tonnunu Masuranamna Paroksha Paramo Guru Yonu Anegamadandhanam Vibramsham Chakshura Dishan Tonnunu Masuranamna Paroksha Paramo Guru Yonu Anegamadandhanam Vibramsham Chakshura Dishan. Mahabali says to Vamanamurti, you are our spiritual master. You are our Guru. Paroksha Paramo Guru. Parama Guru. Supreme Spiritual Master. You are that person. Because for us, you have come as our enemy. Because you remember, Shukracharya told Mahabali, this is Vishnu who has come now in this dress. He has come to take away everything from you and to hand over to who? To Adini Devi's children, Devas, demigods. Isn't it? He wants to get it back from you, everything. That's why he had come. And Mahabali says to Krishna, by you coming in front of us like this, you are our supreme spiritual master. Parama Guru, he says. Paroksha Paramo Guru, he says. Because what is a guru supposed to do with the disciple? Guru is supposed to take the disciple away from the material life once for all and give him spiritual life. And that's what Mahakrishna has done here. Completely dismantled all his opulences. All the opulences were completely dismantled from Mahabali. Completely taken out everything from him, isn't it? Not an inch of land, nothing left. And completely handed him over and made him realize what he is actually. This is, Mahabali is the only personality who has acknowledged like this in the Bhagavatam. He says here, Tannuna Masuranamna Paroksha Paramo Guru Yono Anegamadhandhanam Vibramsham Chakshuradishan. He says here, then you opened our eyes, he says. Our eyes were completely in blind with the opulences because he has taken control of all the opulences of the heavenly planets, everything. And we were, in that opulences, we were totally blind. And you, by doing this to us, taking away everything from us, you made our eyes to open up properly. We have opened our eyes and started saying the truth properly. That's what Mahabali is saying like this. This is the... Therefore, he says to Krishna, says to Vamanamurti, you are our spiritual master. You are our spiritual master. If this is not done, he is not a spiritual master. If the spiritual master has not done this, nowadays it's different, isn't it? Spiritual master gets invited for a nice meal at home, and after a nice meal and a dakshina, the disciple feels, so I've done everything I have to do. Spiritual master is happy, I had a nice meal. He walks away from here, everything is fine, we are all happy together. What's the use? Where's the benefit from this? This is the spiritual life going on nowadays, is it not? So here, look at this way, Bhagavatam is saying to us, that tunnu namasura namna paroksha paramo guru yo adyono anega mathandhanam vibramsham chakshura adishan. Opened our eyes properly and made to realize that nothing is ours, everything is Krishna's. That you made us realize that you have done us the greatest service. You opened our eyes and therefore you are our guru. Mahabali is saying this to Vamanamurti. Tunnu namasura namna Paryoksha paramo guru yono anega madhandhanam vibramsham chakshuradishan. Anega madhandhanam, all kinds of madam. Madam means this ego inside. Vibramsham chakshuradishan, he says. We have completely lost our power. Tomnona asuranam paryoksha paramo guru. So, you have come, he says, in front of us. Paroksha Paramo Guru. You see that word? Paroksha means not directly as a spiritual master in the disguise of a spiritual master. What you have done to us is what a spiritual master should do to his disciple. Otherwise, he is not a spiritual master. If the spiritual master says to disciple, you live nicely and now and then I will see you or I'll make a phone call to you and we keep a nice relationship, as they say, mutually. That's useless. If he has not got him out of that illusion of this material life in this world and got him into spiritual life seriously, it's all a waste of time. It's a waste of time. That's what he's saying here. Tumnu inamasura anamsha paroksha paramo guru paroksham. Paroksham means not indirectly. Paroksham means indirectly, not directly. Indirectly you have come to us as our guru, as our paramo guru, to be spiritual master. Because, and you are the, because due to hangaram, false ego inside, or ajnanam, ignorance inside, we were thinking that it's all ours. It's all ours. And that is why you have come here that to show to us nothing is ours. That's what you have done. By your coming here, you have taught us nothing is ours. That's what you have done. He says, Mahabali says this to Vamanamurti. And this you will see, Mahabali never forgot that. When they lost the war against the demigods, what did Mahabali say? Mahabali's friends came and says to Mahabali that when Vamanamurti measured these 3 feet and took away everything, Mahabali's friends immediately came to fight with Vamanamurti. They thought that their leader has been cheated. So all the friends got up and wanted to help Mahabali to get it back. Mahabali told them, stay quiet. Remember, he says to Viprachiti and Namula, there are a few friends' names mentioned there. He says to them, when he was giving it to you, you took it without saying anything, he said. Happily you took everything. When he's taking back, why do you protest? He said, it is his property, he has given it to you. We didn't get the heavenly plans by our effort, he gave it to us. That's how Mahabali saw that. You see, Mahabali's great heart, you have to appreciate that. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says, among all the Brahmanas, I am Mahabali, he says. Look at that. Brahmanyanam balistvam. Among all the Brahminical quality, this big heart, what Mahabali had, nobody else had. He was born in a Prahlada's grandson, Asura he is, isn't it? By race he is Asura, but by qualities he is higher than a Brahmana. Brahmana means one who has got a big heart, isn't it? That means no selfishness inside. That is that quality. And Mahabali had that greatest quality in him. So therefore, I mentions here like this. So, so many times he says, thinking that it's me, mine, I have kept so many things as my own. And now you have come and taken it, everything away from me, and you taught us this great lesson. So, and then, I have given him everything what I have got. Now I'm going to give you myself, he says. I'm going to give you myself. Giving myself means handing over that false ego from inside. Never to think again that anything is mine. Always to think everything is Krishna's. That is that surrender. Mahabali's famous surrender. You will see what happened was at that time. If you look in the 22nd chapter, 5th verse, sorry, 2nd verse, what it says there. That is, he mentions there that the
ശ്ലോകഭവാൻ മമേരിതം വജോ വ്യലീകം സുരവര്യമന്യതേ കരോമൃതം തന്ന പ്രവേൽ പ്രളംഭനം പദം ത്രയീയം കുരു ശീർഷ്ണിമേ നിജം ഇസീദം മഹാബലി സെയിങ് യദുത്തമ ശ്ലോകഭവാൻ മമേരിതം ദാൻ വജോ വ്യലീകം സുരവര്യമന്യതേ സേസ് ടു അമനമൂർത്തി When this incident happened with Mahabali and Vamanamurti, Vamanamurti, Mahabali for a minute thought that, have I been cheated by Krishna now? Or on the one side, Shukracharya is standing there and telling him that don't hand over anything. And other side, Mahabali's total commitment to truthfulness. Total commitment to truthfulness. Feeling the necessity, he felt that I should honor my word. Is it not? Mahabali felt the need to honor his word. Shukracharya is telling him, don't worry about it. You can tell lies in certain instances. And he gives instances where you can talk lies. He tells that also. A few places he mentions there, isn't it? That where all you can tell lies. Striyashu, Narma, Vivaheja, Vrithyarthe, Pranasangade, Go Brahmanarthe, Himsayam, Nanudam Siyaj Gupsidam. This is the conclusion. You can tell lies in all these situations. You can tell lies to women. If you have to get married, you can tell lies. And if it is a question of livelihood, you can tell lie. For example, everybody tells lie for livelihood, isn't it? So you go for an interview. When you go for a job interview, they will ask you about your previous experiences, qualification, everything. If you simply tell your reality truth there, you're not going to get through the interview. You will lose that, isn't it? So naturally we will say... CV is nothing but a glorified projection of your... Therefore, that's accepted. It is not considered to be wrong. It's up to the interviewer to find out whether you are... And if you do something like that, it can come back also later on. Problems, isn't it? So here, Mahabali, at that time, Shukracharya says there, Prana Sangade, if you are in trouble, you need the job, you want the job, you have to get the job, you have to say this, otherwise you're not going to get it. So at that time, you can tell a lie, it's allowed, he says. Pruthyarthe, for livelihood in this world, sometimes you have to say lies. Then, go Brahmanarthe Himsayam. In some instances, suppose a cow is in trouble, and if you have to protect the cow or Brahmana, in that case also, you can tell lies. That's allowed. Nanudam Siyal Jugupsidam. So,
And suppose somebody is going to get killed, and if you can save him by telling a lie and save his life, in that situation it's allowed. So Shukracharya gave, there is a book called Shukraniti, Shukracharya's logic. It's another book. Shukracharya has written also, Shukraniti, and something like that, he took it out and said to Mahabali, look, it's there in the Shastra. If you want some authority, here it is, he said, and showed it to him. Strishu, Narma Vivaheshu, Vrityarthe, Pranasangade, Go Brahmanarthe, Himsayam, Nandadam Siyal, Jugupsidam, he says. In all these situations, you are allowed to tell lies. So imagine here, Mahabali is standing there. One side Shukracharya is standing and saying to him like this. Other side Vamanamurti is standing there and looking at Mahabali. Are you going to keep your word or not? So in between Mahabali is there standing. So he is here. Mahabali says to Krishna, Uttama Shloka he is called here. Yad Uttama Shloka Bhavan Mameridam Vacho Vilegam Suravaryam Anyate. Then, if you think that I have lied to you, I am not going to that to happen. So strong Mahabali was in his words that is what has impressed Krishna by his, you know, that truthfulness in that Mahabali. And he says to him that karomidandana bhavet pralambhanam, if you will not cheat me again like the way you did with the other 2 feet measuring the heavenly planets and the earthly planet, and if it is okay, if you won't do that again, if you won't grow so big like the way you did before, here is the place you can put your 3rd feet. And showed his head to him. Padam tritiyam, the 3rd feet, kuru shirshnime nijam. Put it on my head here, he said. And Mahabali put his head in front of Vamanamurti. Krishna was so impressed by that surrender by Mahabali. He says to Krishna's words, you have to see after that. He says, so many things Krishna mentions after that. So you can see here that, so there's only one thing what we don't hand over to Krishna. You know that. We'll give everything to Krishna. There's one thing what we won't give it to him. That's our ego. That is when it comes to that only, we will have our real color will come out from inside. That's where we get stuck. People have given everything to Krishna. But as far as this surrender in that, handing over that ego inside, hangaram inside, that is where, and Krishna says, that's the only thing I want from you, none of your other thing called wealth. It's all, after all, it's all mine only anyway. It's not yours anyway. That's Krishna's point. So, so actually, all other things is like we are taking Krishna's things and giving an offering to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? Like in the Ganga River, people stand and looking at the sun planet, they are offering their Gayatri japa. While chanting Gayatri, they are taking the Ganga water in the hand and offering to the sun. So, using that Ganga water also, who does it belong to? It's not yours, isn't it? It's Krishna's. And then you are offering. Similarly, everything what we offer to Krishna in this world is all Krishna's. At the end, it is all Krishna's. Whether it is flowers, fruits, sweets, or gold, or cash, or whatever, everything belongs to Krishna. Ishavasyamidam sarvam, isn't it? Ishavasyamidam sarvam. So everything is Krishna's. That's what we are offering. But there is one thing which is not Krishna's, which is ours. That's our ego inside. And that is exactly what Krishna wants from us, not other things. Other things, whether you give it or not, that's another thing. That's another thing. So that's why he says here that you will see this in so many places, like Kuru Shirshnime Nijam, he says. Isn't it? Kuru Shirshnime Nijam. That When he wanted to put it on my head, he says to him that all the Prahlada also mentions this, that Prahlada, when this incident was happening, was present there between Mahabali and Vamanamurti. When this was happening, Prahlada was present there, and Prahlada felt compassion for Mahabali. He's his grandson, isn't he? Prahlada is Mahabali's grandson. Mahabali's son is Virochana. Sorry, Prahlada's son is Virochana. Virochana's son is Mahabali. So he says, don't give trouble to him, my grandson, anymore. Prahlada says to Krishna at that time. So, it is at that time that some famous verses in the Bhagavatam which you will see. How does Krishna respond to your devotee? When do you know that Krishna has recognized you as a devotee? That's what Krishna is saying there. If you look into that chapter, 24th verse, Krishna is saying there that
Shri Bhagavanu Vacham Brahmanyam Anugrahnami Tadvisho Vichinomyaham Yanmada Purushastardho Logam Vam Chavamanyade.
In the same 22nd chapter, verse 34. Verse 24.
Brahmanyam Anugrahnami Tadvisho Vichinomyaham Yanmada Purushastardho Logam Vam Chavamanyade.
Brahma was there. Lord Brahma was also present there. Vamanamurti is saying to Brahma, Lord Brahma, to addressing Brahma, he says to Brahma, my dear Brahma, so if I want to give my mercy to somebody, first thing what I do is I take away everything from him, all his opulences first. Same thing later on also. Esyaham anugrihnami harishe tadanam shanai tadodanam tejandasya sojanal dukkha dukhira. Later on in the Rukasura story, I think it comes there. When I want to, in two instances, the same message Krishna is saying. When I want something to give to someone, bhakti to somebody, first thing, when my mercy comes, you can see this in this way. Not that when a lot of money is coming, you are saying Krishna is very happy with me. Nowhere in the Bhagavatam it is said like that. The only thing what Bhagavatam is saying is, when everything is taken away, you can take it, the mercy is coming from Krishna. That's how it is. Yamanu grihnami tadvisho vidhinomyaham. He says here that first thing I do is take away everything from him and completely make him penniless. Pauper. Totally pauper.
Yatyan madha purusha stabdha.
What happens to him at that time? His madam, that ego inside, due to that opulence what he had. Is it not? Like all of us, we feel some shelter everywhere. Either in our own body, we feel the shelter, or in the wealth what we have in the bank account, even that's not guaranteed. Now Greece is going one way, the other place is going another. What is guaranteed now? So that's also Krishna's giving us some indication that this is how your shelter is, so-called shelter. So he says here, Yan madha purushaha, whatever madam, ego inside, that we had this wealth, that wealth, so much wealth, we feel sheltered by this wealth. Is it not? So, people have shelter. Normally, this false ego will take us into find shelter in the nature, in the prakriti, asapta. That is the way this shelter works. We will take shelter in our own ability, in our health or strength, our shelter in the wealth in the bank or in the assets or whatever, or shelter in our contacts and society and social life. All this is. But Krishna says, once I take away the money from him, everything, all his so-called assets, then all others will leave him. There won't be any relatives and friends after that. They will all go. They won't come back again. Up to that time, they'll bring you sweets on Diwali and give you all, shake your hands and everything. Once you go lose everything, nobody will be there to ask you about anything. So that's what he says. Yan madha purusha stabdho logam vam chava manyate. So, he will get so insulted by the world will insult him when he becomes penniless. Nobody will honor him anymore in this world. He'll feel pauper and he'll be offended by everything by in this world. And what will happen? Sabdo lokanam chavo manyate. So, normally due to that influence of the wealth in his hands, he starts becoming very offensive towards the world and towards me. Krishna says there. Aumanyade means that he will be offensive to me because of the wealth. We can see that very wealthy people also. So therefore, I take away his wealth first, he says. That's the way it works. And you can also see that in the later on, in the 10th canto, yasyaham anugrihnami harisheta dhanam shanehi. That if I want to give to someone, if my mercy, kripa is coming, it means harishya tadhanam shane. I'll take away everything from him. Tado dhanam tejandasya. When he gives away all that wealth away, swajanal dukha dukhira. His own people will leave him and go, and he will become very, he will automatically surrender. He will automatically surrender unto me. So, saying that,
saying that Krishna mentions here that so he says here that after all money has been lost, and this can happen in different ways. You can see that sometimes during the World War, all the World War II, if you remember, that they taught a lesson, very important lesson. Your so-called currency has no meaning, isn't it? The Deutschmark was completely lost its value, and they were throwing the Deutschmark all over the streets in Germany in the Second World War time. If you have read, you will see what has happened at that time, that the world currency has lost its whole value, the Deutschmark, and it was thrown all over the streets. And there is still some old films in the BBC who have got that film of that, the after effects of that war. So, but people are thinking that this money, I have so much money, I have so much money. Where is this money? That's the question. So if you ask Krishna, why you have done, like Krishna says, I'm giving you my mercy. Mm-hmm. He's taking everything, and you ask Krishna why you have done, he says, I've given him the mercy. So, to many devotees, Krishna has spoken like this. Krishna has spoken like this. One devotee asked Krishna, why you are giving me trouble like this? Krishna says, this is how I am. I give trouble to people. I enjoy that, he says. Mm-hmm. Giving trouble to devotees. So that mother, old lady, says to Krishna, so especially in the case of Tyagaraja, remember I was discussing this before. Tyagaraja's life is full of this incident. Tyagaraja says to him, that he says to Ramachandra, Ramachandra was his favorite deity he worshipped. He says to Ramachandra, so he says to him, I have been asking you for so many times that I am starving, I have no food to eat. Ramachandra says to him, you tolerate that hunger. He tolerated the hunger. Tyagaraja says, how do I tolerate the hunger? He says, every time whenever I ask you something, you say to me, you tolerate it. He says, so if it is like that, to tell me that I have to tolerate it, do I need a Rama here to tell me that? This is the Tyagaraja asked Ramachandra. Do I need a Ramachandra to tell me that I have to tolerate everything? This is a conversation. It's all in Tyagaraja's songs. He writes this thing. Tyagaraja's famous songs they are. These feelings, what they had towards the Ramchandra, has all come out in the form of Kirtanam. Tyagaraja's famous Kirtanam is that Ramchandra, what are you doing with me? So many things he's asking. Direct conversation with Ramchandra, he says to him, like that. So, there also he says to Tyagaraja that, when I want to give some mercy to someone, this is how I start with. First I take away everything from that person. I give him as much time as possible. If I do like that, wherever he has pride in anything, or he feels some possessive of something in this world, I will beat them there. Tat vadha praninam vadha, he says. So, first you kill that ego inside that person, that is the greatest benediction from him. And I'll take away from him whatever he thinks is making him feel proud about it. If he has, and still, if he has not moved from his pride, tatraya madanugraha, and I will make sure that he realizes that it is my mercy that is coming. And if after all these things, if he is still not feeling distressed and move away from me, only then you take it that he is receiving my mercy. That is the proof of that. When distress will come, no doubt. Distress must come in life. Ultimately, that is all what is waiting for. All this show will come to an end one day. Is it not? When the old age comes, disease comes, and death is coming, we have to say goodbye to this world. That is when you start actually understanding what is Krishna. Is it not? Krishna is saying to us, if at that time, if your mind is still attached to me, you can take it that the mercy is coming. If you go away from Krishna at that time, you can take it, that's your misfortune. That is the proof Krishna says here. Therefore, he says, if you look in the 35th verse, how Krishna puts that to
to Mahabali. Rekshishya sarvadoham tvam sanugam saparichadam sadasannihidam veera tatramam drakshade bhavan.
In katha form, when it is spoken in the Bhagavatam, it is spoken like this. The knowledge is from the Upanishads, but they had to bring it for in a way that will attract to the heart of the devotees. So that's why in the Bhagavatam, when they say, they will speak in all this way.
Rekshishye sarvatoham tvam sanugam saparichadam tasada sannihidam veera tatramam drakshade bhavan.
Bhavanamurti is saying to Mahabali, Mahabali, Rekshishye sarvatoham tvam, I will protect you all time, not only you, sanugam saparichadam, including everyone in your family. All of them will be protected. And not only that, you may don't have any doubt about that, whether Vamanamurti will protect me. No. Sada sannihidam veera. I'll be standing outside the gate as a gatekeeper. And tatramam drakshade bhavan. You'll be able to see me all the time standing there. It looks that Vamanamurti was standing outside Mahabali's door as a gatekeeper for all time till Mahabali leaves Sutalam. That's how that guarantee, which Krishna has not given this to anybody else in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this mercy like this. So, so this Mahabali story in the Bhagavatam, what we have been talking about is that Mahabali is saying here that all situations, sada sannihiram veera, drakshayasai bhavan. So, I'm saying like that. So, surrender is concerned. The main surrender is ourselves to surrender, not all the wealth and other things. Surrendering oneself is a proper surrender. That is where proper Sharanagati begins. Proper surrender is surrendering oneself. This Mahabali's example is the finest example in the Bhagavatam. And that won't happen till that Krishna's mercy comes. That is why this Atma Nivedanam is one thing which has to happen from Krishna's side, not from our side. You can't surrender. You won't be able to surrender. Just like Krishna did to Mahabali, came and took out everything and forced him to surrender. That is Krishna's mercy. That is why Atma Nivedanam is different from all the other eight. All other things you can do. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam. All that you can do. Atma Nivedanam, you can't do it. Atma Nivedanam comes from Krishna's side. Krishna, when Krishna sees that other eight things are happened in life properly, out of simply by Kripa, mercy alone, Krishna offers the ninth one. That's why it's called Angam. The other eight is called Angi. These eight of them leads to the ninth one, Angi. So, some time ago, in an ashram in Haridwar, there was a sannyasi living there, and often many people come to Haridwar to visit in many ashrams like that. So another sannyasi came to this ashram also. When he came there, the sannyasis who were there in that ashram, who were living there, they had their own pattern of sadhana and their anushtan in the normal way, what they have. They had that. So this sannyasi came, walked in there, the new person came from outside, walked in there, and he asked the other sannyasis who were present there, what is your schedule here? What do you do? What's your way of practicing the spiritual life, everything here? So they says to him, so other sannyasis who are present there, they ask this new sannyasi, what's your system in your ashram, what do you do? So this sannyasi said that normally what we do is we chant the Naam, the holy name, whole day, so many of us for so much time we chant, and eventually we offer all the results to our spiritual master, he said. We offer our results to our spiritual master. So this one sannyasi was in the ashram. That's not a bad thing, he said. He says to him that it's just like that, you keep your capital and just give the interest to the spiritual master, is it? He said, he put it in a very light way. In other words, that capital is this false ego. Yeah? Without giving the capital, you are just offering the results. You say, I am giving you the results of all that. But surrender, perfect surrender, is only when that ego has completely gone and complete dependence on Krishna under all circumstances. All circumstances. That is why it's a difficult thing. So, because in all these things what we do in this world, I am the doer won't go away easily from inside. Isn't it? I am doing. Anybody, you can take it for anyone for that matter. To do things completely freedom from that false ego and to operate in that state of consciousness is very, very difficult. So, that is why it's mentioned here that only through the process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, if bhakti develops in the heart, then Atmanivedanam is possible. Atmanivedanam will happen, natural way it will happen. But bhakti has to develop in the heart first. When bhakti hasn't developed in the heart, Atmanivedanam is not possible. Atmanivedanam is not possible. So, all the other eight processes are maturing us, preparing us for the ninth one. That's what it does. That's why these nine processes are called Navavidha Bhakti. Prahladas, Shravanam, Kirtanam, these nine processes are Navavidha Bhakti. So the eight of them are actually preparing us for the ninth one. So you can see in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are not many people who have done surrender, Atmanivedanam like that. There are few personalities. The topmost surrenders, who are all there? Look at this way. Gajendra surrendered to Krishna. Isn't it? In the 8th canto, Gajendra has surrendered to Krishna. Mahabali has surrendered to Krishna. Ambarish Maharaj surrendered to Krishna. Then we also have Uttaradevi surrendered to Krishna. These are, and Panjali, Draupadi also surrendered to Krishna. These are main examples of surrender, what you find, Atmanivedanam. To different levels of Atmanivedanam also. Among all these surrender, if you ask somebody who has the highest surrender, the commentator's opinion is Uttaradevi's surrender is the highest. All other cases, there was a little bit of catches before surrendering. Uttara's case, there was no catch. When Pahi Pahi Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagalpade Nanyam Twadhvayam Pashel Yatra Mrityu Parasparam, you won't find this beauty of Uttara's surrender in anybody else, not even in Mahabali's surrender. Mahabali had pride before. I am somebody. Can you imagine? How can you know pride in a person like Mahabali, who controls all the planetary systems? Demigods were thrown out from there. Mahabali, when he walked into a heavenly planet, you should see how Mahabali entered there in the Bhagavatam. He says here, when he goes there, by then Indra came to know Mahabali is coming. So he has vacated and left the place. And they were wandering around all over. They lost the place, they have no place to go to. So that is the situation Mahabali was. And Mahabali, before he went to conquer, you remember he performed so many Ashwamedham sacrifices, and Shukracharya has told him that this time you may not even require to fight a war. By the time you get there, they may not even fight the war with you. So what did Mahabali do? Mahabali, before he left with the army to go to fight the war in the early planets, he first paid his obeisances to Shukracharya. Then Prahlada was sitting there. When he goes to Prahlada, Prahlada Mamandra Namaschakara, Bhagavatam says. Then he went down to Prahlada and paid his obeisances to Prahlada. Grandfather, isn't it? Prahlada took his hand and put on Mahabali and told him, Vijayi Bhava, you don't have to fight, you may not have to even fight the war. And Amlana Pushpam Jalajanja Shukraha, and he put one garland on Mahabali's neck and told him, Mahabali, only when this flower starts fading away, your face will also fade. face will also become dull. Otherwise, you will be cheerful all the time. And that garland what Prahlada has put on Mahabali never faded. That garland. In other words, when Mahabali went to the heavenly planets, there was no resistance from anyone. All the demigods had left, and they left, they knew that they won't be able to fight with Mahabali. Mahabali was so powerful that they couldn't fight with him, and Mahabali had all the heavenly planets under his control. As soon as Mahabali sat on Indira's throne, the Apsaras women came and started dancing. Everything was happening there. In the Bhagavatam says like that. Yugur Mahendra Asanam Ojanastidam Vishwavasustumburu Asmada Adaya. Then Narada Maharshi notices all these things, what's happening with Mahabali. So Narada Maharshi was very respectful to Mahabali. Mahabali was also very respectful to Narada Maharshi. And then when Adhi Devi performed penances, Payavratam, and Bhavanamurti appeared, Bhavanamurti told Aditi Devi, "My dear mother, your fasting and the vratam, everything was very good. But I can't guarantee you the result," she said, "that I'll be able to get everything back from Mahabali, because Mahabali has got it in the right way. So Krishna won't take something from somebody if he has got it in the proper way." So Bhavanamurti's words were to Aditi Devi was, "I will try somehow to get it to you, get it back to you, because you are suffering, because you are not, your children are suffering." Aditi Devi was upset about that, isn't it? When the demigods were in trouble, Aditi Devi was unhappy about it. So Aditi Devi requested Vamanamurti, "Somehow or the other, you should relieve my distress, because my children are suffering, demigods." So that is how then Vamanamurti comes back, and then through this trick, that he got away everything from Mahabali and handed it over everything back to Aditi Devi. That we'll see later. So here, you can see here that this process, Alpa Nivedanam of Mahabali, although very famous, there are still some problems there. Mahabali had this pride inside that I am somebody there. But so Krishna decided that if it is like that, I'll smash there on that very pride itself. That's what he did, isn't it? That's what he did. That with the 2 feet when he measured this, Mahabali couldn't say one word after that. Because I offered him 3 feet, and ego is so strong inside, he's gave his word to Krishna, to Amanamurti, "What do I do for the 3rd feet? And with that, Krishna wiped out that ego from inside Mahabali. Ambarish Maharaj was very surrendered to Krishna, no doubt. Gajendra's story, you know. Gajendra's case was, Gajendra initially wouldn't surrender. Initially he thought, "I got my family around. That's not a small family, hundreds of elephants. It's not a small family, isn't it?" All that family was willing to help Gajendra also. So Gajendra felt that when they are there, why should I? After all, this is only one crocodile. If we can't handle one crocodile, what's the use? And his ego was so strong, Gajendra's ego. He was the king of that whole group of elephants, isn't it? And Sukadeva Goswami says, keeping this elephant as an example, he's talking to us directly. These householders are like that, he says. They want to enjoy life in this world with their wife, children, grandchildren, and then all the family members together. So there will always be this one householder who makes sure that everybody is happy in their association together. So householder life enjoyment. He says, this Gajendra is a similar character. That he had to learn his lesson in a very hard way. So when the crocodile caught his leg, initially he thought, "It's not a big thing, I can pull it out," but it didn't happen. Then one after the other, all the family members left. They tried, it didn't work, so they also left. So at some point in time, his ego also left. That's when he said, "Narayana Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste." He offers the flowers to Krishna at that time, isn't it? So, Gajendra had ego, Mahabali had ego. Now, look back into others. Draupadi also had some faith in her brothers, that they will protect her. And therefore, when this Dushasana started insulting her, she looked for help elsewhere. In the assembly of the Pandavas, Yudhishthira, Bhima, Arjuna, they were all there, but none of them could do anything about it. She looked towards Bhishma and Dhritarashtra even. They didn't say one word. It was at that time when she realized that I can't put trust or faith in any of these people. Attention went back to Krishna. Till then she didn't think about it. Uttara's case, look at Uttara. Uttara is the greatest personality in the Bhagavatam because of this. What happened to Uttara? Uttara says, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin, addressing Krishna. Krishna has boarded the chariot, ready to go. And it was at that time that Ashwatthama's Brahmasram has gone in the womb and it is burning inside. And she didn't look, there were everybody else was there. Yudhishthira was there, Kuntidevi was there, Vedavyasa Maharshi was there, Arjuna was there, Nakula was there, Sahadeva was there. All these five members of brothers, they are the greatest personalities in the Bhagavatam. Very strong personalities. Didn't look at them for any help. Goes to Krishna and falls at Krishna's feet and says to Krishna, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin, Mahayogin, addressing Krishna. If there is one person who can protect me now, that's you. That is surrender. Nobody else has surrendered like this. Krishna, Uttaradevi says to Krishna, if there is one person who can protect me, that is you, nobody else. That is surrender. Devadeva Jagalpade, Devadeva Jagalpade, O Lord of all the universes. Manyam Tva Dhabayam Pashyel, I have taken only your shelter and I have no other shelter. Why I haven't taken shelter of anybody else? Because looking at them I can see that they can't do anything about it. Why? They are also subjected to death. It's a very important message to us. Uttaradevi is telling us, if you are taking shelter of your wealth, your society, or your friends, or your health or wealth or whatever it is, that is not shelter. That's not shelter. Real shelter is Krishna. To stress that point, Vedavyas puts that word there, yatra mrityu parasparam. Everything else is subjected to death. That is the reason. That pahi pahi mahayogin deva deva jagalpade manyam tva dhavayam pashyel yatra mrityu parasparam. That mrityu, death is there in front of Yudhishthira. Death is in front of Arjuna, Bhima, Nakula, Sahadeva, Kunti Devi, even Vedavyas. How can they protect me? This was Uttara's question to Krishna. Krishna appreciated that surrender and took and got into Uttaradevi's womb and wandered around there, Chakravani there, protecting Ashwatthama, Parikshit from the Ashwatthama's Brahmastram, which you will see there. So, after all this, saying all these things, we'll move into the next verse after a few minutes. So, up to now, in this chapter, Krishna gave so many different options, isn't it? Starting from jnanam, from knowledge. First talks about impersonal realization, Brahman realization. Krishna said, what's the problem with that? Isn't it? Those who are in the bodily concept of life, and those who are very attached to this world, for them it is a difficult process. Then Krishna, what did he say? He spoke about the Bhagavad Dharma. He said, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see there, that verse is, Sarvani Karmani, that is, six verses, six and seven. Krishna says, Sarvani Karmani, my sanyasi malpara, ananyeneva yogena, maam dhyayanta upasare. That's the next option. Bhagavad Dharma, in other words. And Krishna says, if he does that, Teshamaham Samadhata, I take the responsibility, that is there, in that verse, isn't it? Then, after that, Krishna says, if that is that is not possible, then Atha Chittam Samadhatam, start working with your mind, Chittam. And Nashang Nushi Mahisthiram, fix Abhyasa Yogenato Mahamicha, practice it and make it happen. What's that? That earlier verses he said like that Sarvani Karmani, Sarvani Karmani my sanyasya malpara means you have to be always surrendered, very surrendered to Krishna. That means everything what you are doing, it has to be always aware Krishna is doing that. It's happening through this body. In that state to do things, that's very difficult, isn't it? Because how many people can do that all the time? Yedu Samani Kamani Mai Sanyasya Malpara. The word Malpara is very important. Malpara means totally surrendered.
In that way, if you execute any karma, doesn't matter what comes through your body, just do that. And but always, Krishna is doing that. It's happening through this body. He is the operator and the machine in that way. And then after saying that, he said, "If that is, if he does that, he gives the what will happen to that person." That's what's the next two verses. Tesha maham samudharta, that verse, and the eighth one, mayeva mana adatso mai buddhim niveshaya nusushiti mayeva ada urdhuna samshaya, all that. Then he says, if that's not possible, that if you cannot control your mind in that way, to do it, because that requires a good control on the mind, to be in that surrendered state, to stay all the time, isn't it? We all know that. To stay in the surrendered state is very difficult. If you surrender for 1 second in a day, you should say that thing that you have made it. Once in a day, even if you can surrender to Krishna. Because that's how it is. That's how the nature of the mind is like that. And because the mind is like that, Krishna is saying the next option, atha chittam samadhadam mashanknushi maistiram. Try, practice it, he says. Abhyasa yoga. He talks about abhyasa yogam there, isn't it? Abhyasa yogena tado mam ichaptam dhananjaya. And come back to me through the abhyasam, he says. Then in the next verse, he says, abhyasevi asamartosi mal karma parama bhavan. He says, if you are not good for abhyasam, if you don't know how to do that, kartumad yoga maashrayaha abhyasevi matkarma paramo bhavan and madartham avi karmani kuruvan siddhimavapsasi. Whatever you are doing, do it for me. Keep do only for Krishna, nothing else. No individual interest anymore. No selfish motive in within. Everything for Krishna. You only see Krishna is the only enjoyer and my job is only to please Krishna, nothing else. In that way, living in this world, in that way. That option, next one. And then he says there, Adhaidabhi Ashaktosi, if that is also not possible for you to do that, then give all the results to me, Krishna says. Sarva karma bharatyagam, and be a proper Atmavan. Yathakuru tathatmavan. Atmavan means purely transcendentally situated, giving everything to Krishna, results. You are doing so many work, so many results are coming, everything given to Krishna. All these options are there, and this with these 11 verses, you can see, this Bhakti Yogam chapter has only, how many verses? 20. Isn't it? 20. In these 20 verses, 11 verses we have discussed so far. From this, you can see what this Bhakti means. Isn't it? How difficult, we say bhakti is easy, bhakti is easy. Which one is this easy now, out of all this? Say one thing which is easy here. We take it for granted, bhakti yoga is so simple, such a nice process. You have chant, dance and feast, nothing else, we don't have to do anything else. Isn't it? And we say that in spiritual world, there's only music and dance. Music and dance and feast, nothing else. So it is so simple, the process. But when you read Bhagavad Gita, it doesn't look like that, does it? That simple as it is said. From these 11 verses, you get the impression that bhakti process also is not that simple when you understand what bhakti is. We can give our own spin on bhakti, whichever way we want to make it. But bhakti yoga process in the Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna has spoken, does require surrender, a lot of surrender is necessary. Without surrender, there is no thing called bhakti. In bhakti, there is not much to know about bhakti. Unlike Jnanamargam. Jnanamargam, you have to know a lot of things. In bhakti, there is nothing much to know. Bhakti is nothing but surrender. Nothing else. This is why I am saying that when we start thinking that so many projects we are running, so many things we are managing, we are teaching bhakti yoga. You can't teach bhakti yoga to anybody. You have to do the bhakti yoga without practicing it. And then we make a situation that we bring so many things, all our material problems into bhakti life. Then it cannot be bhakti anymore. Bhakti is surrender. That's all it is. There's not much to know in bhakti. There's not much to know in bhakti. Bhakti is completely surrender and nothing but surrender. When somebody surrenders to Krishna, not dependent on this world, for his bodily maintenance even, and accepting the very, very minimum from here for maintenance of this body,
and completely living in that consciousness of full surrender to Krishna, that is bhakti. Otherwise it's not bhakti. Nowadays we think that we build a lot of temples, establishments, ashrams. How big the ashram I have built, that's the way you are judged. How many followers have you got? Has this all anything to do with bhakti? At least Bhagavad Gita doesn't talk about that. As well as from these 11 verses, you can see bhakti, if you have misunderstood properly from the Bhagavad Gita, it is surrender. Nothing but surrender. That is bhakti. So, anyway, not going to that. Here, after saying all these things step by step, Krishna is going to say the conclusion of this whole thing in the next verse. So let's look at that. Shrayo hi jnanam abhyasal. Jnanal dhyanam vishishyate. Jnanal karma bhalatyagam. Jnagal shabiranam dharam. Shrayo hi jnanam abhyasal. Jnanal dhyanam vishishyate. Jnanal karma bhalatyagam. Jnagal shabiranam dharam. Now we notice there, Krishna talks about shandi there. Jnagal shabiranam dharam. Why? Shandi is the nature of the soul, not all the ecstasy and emotions what we think in bhakti is. That's not. People think that, oh, it was so ecstatic. I had so many ecstatic experiences. Ecstasy is not the reality. Reality, the nature of the soul is shandi. You will see in the Bhagavad Gita in many places. Tyagal shandi ranandaram. Shandi comes ultimately. Remember? In the last 18th chapter also, Krishna says the same thing. How does Krishna put it? Krishna says there that Tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharada mal prasadal bharam shandim sthanam prapsisi shashvatam. There also Krishna says there, isn't it, about shandi. Here also Krishna says shandi. So we must never misunderstand. Bhagavad Gita is telling us as spiritual reality, spiritual identity, in that state, what is our state is shandi. Shandi is our state. So let's look at that verse. If you cannot take to this practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. Better than knowledge, however, is meditation. And better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. For by such renunciation, one can attain peace of mind. Now, here's a big problem with this verse. I have to openly say this to you. I leave the judgment up to you to decide which way you want to take it. After talking about jnani in the previous chapters, in such a glorified way by Krishna, in previous chapters, 4th, 5th, Krishna talks about jnani in such a very higher level, isn't it? Jnani talpeiva me madam, Krishna says there. After saying all that, it's very difficult to take it like this, that the better than knowledge is meditation, and better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. But for such renunciation, one can. So, if you read that verse, for an ordinary person, it won't make sense, would it? That if you start telling me that, suppose I am working, I am earning a lot of money, £1 million a year. If I give £1 million of year to Krishna, am I better than an jnani who has realized the spirit soul as a spiritual identity? Certainly not. I'm still a karmi. Only thing is, what I've done is I'm giving the results to Krishna. That's all it is. I'm not changed anymore. I'm still very much in the identity of the body, bodily concept of life. So why this problem then with this verse? It's an important thing. You have to know that verse properly. Literally, that meaning is correct. The translation is correct. Literal translation, it is correct. But the spirit, it's not correct. If you read that and literally if you take it, you will be misunderstanding everything. Because Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasal. Look at that verse again. Jnanal dhyanam vishishyade. Dhyanal karma bhalatyagam. Tyagal shandi anandaram. That is what Krishna is saying there, isn't it? So Krishna mentions there, this is an unusual verse. There are a few verses like this in the Bhagavad Gita, where you will notice this kind of problems.
Krishna is saying there that most of the devotees you can ask, they will say that that is the meaning of that. Actually, it is not. It's not. That's not the meaning of that verse. Because here, Krishna is saying, better than the practice is Shreyohi Jnanam Abhyasal. Better than the practice is Jnanam. Better than the Abhyasa Yogam is Jnana Yogam. That's what Krishna is saying, isn't it? Shreyohi Jnanam Abhyasal. Then he says, Jnanal Dhyanam Vishishare. Better than the knowledge is meditation. You know, the knowledge is meditation. Then, better than the meditation is Karma Bhala Tyagam, which means giving up the results of your karma, isn't it? Then, so, and Tyagal Shandi Anandaram. Once you sacrifice everything, Tyagam, sacrifice, when it happens, Shandi will come from them. This is the literal meaning of that verse, is it not? The literal meaning of that verse is like that. We call it as Vachyatam. Every verse is what you call as Vachyatam and Lakshyatam. Vachyatam means the literal meaning. Lakshyatam means what it is meant by Krishna when he spoke that. Lakshyatam is the difficult thing to find. Vachyatam is easier. Vachyatam is the easier thing. So, let's go into the verse now. Krishna says, Shreyohi Jnanam Abhyasal. Abhyasa means karma. Isn't it? You are practicing something, that is your abhyasam. For example, japam, chanting the holy name, puja, deity worship, all this is abhyasam. All this is abhyasam, isn't it? Abhyasam is practicing it. So, there are many people who do all these things without completely absorbed in that. You know that. We chant, many of us chant, but while chanting, we are not completely absorbed in the chanting. Sound is coming out, but mind is somewhere else. Is it not?
Yeah.
Mind will go into the world. Mind will make a round the world trip and come back by the time we finish our chanting. We look at the 16 rounds. Oh, 16 rounds finished. Put the beats back, finish that. Same thing is happening in deity worship also. Don't think. While resting the deity also thinking, oh, today which bill I have to pay? I hope. So many thoughts are coming through. It's not that everybody is dressing the deity is so advanced that they are always thinking about Krishna. It's not like that. We don't have to carry all this misconception in our head that just because you are dressing the deity, you are such an advanced devotee in this world. There's nowhere mentioned like that. Anyway. So, 90% of the world is like that. You can take it like that. 90% of the world is doing all this so-called devotional service all the time, but mind somewhere else. So, similarly, this is happening not today, it's been going on for thousands of years in the same way. It's not a new thing. Sometimes what happens, that parents, what do they do? In the Brahmana families, I'm saying, what they do? They'll tell the children, you chant the Sahasranamam, 1000 names of Vishnu in the morning. Only then we'll give you the breakfast. Because they get tired, they keep telling him he's not willing to do it. So ultimately they'll put this condition attached to it. You can't have prasadam, breakfast, till you have chanted the 1000 names of Vishnu. The child will say, Devisham, Vishnu, Vashalkaryo, Bhulabha, Vibhavad, Prabhu. He'll keep on chanting this. And it takes roughly about 30 to 45 minutes to finish through the whole 1000 names to chant. So he'll finish all that. And then the parents are expecting the child to do very well in the school also, to study also. It's to study well. So, it so happens that child failed in the exam. So, he says, the child is coming back and saying to the parents, what's the use of chanting? I failed the exam. What's the use, he says to the mother. So, from tomorrow onwards, I'm not chanting. The child says, so the child is getting disappointed. He has failed and he's feeling bad about it. He says, I should have studied at that time instead of chanting, he says to him like that. So, Krishna, when the child says like that, Krishna says, thank you very much. Okay, you go. Another one, gone, written off from the list. So, this is how spiritual life is going on in this world. With many, many people, it is like that. Just because we are initiated and we have got a name and a dhoti and a shiga doesn't mean that we have changed very much. Inside, it is still the same. Nothing has changed. So, here, Krishna is mentioned here that as long as we are thinking that we are chanting or we are doing any spiritual activity with the intention to get something, then it's not spiritual anymore. It's not spiritual anymore. And as long as we have material desires in us, and even though subtle level we may not say to Krishna, even while chanting, these subtle desires will keep coming and drag us into that. In that case, it's not very spiritual. It's not spiritual. That is the point. So, if you are to get something in this world, if you want to get something in this world, and or if you do something to make some regulation in life, any purpose like that if you do, it's not a spiritual activity. It's not a spiritual activity. So you will see this in great devotees' life. Only from there you can learn this, how they were in their relationship with Krishna. In their relationship with Krishna. So, for example, we do kirtan. Sometimes 24-hour kirtan, sometimes, different times. Often you will see it becomes a musical concert sometimes. Or recognition from others. Look how nice everything, how musical I am, how much I am. There, that means recognition is required from the world. That, or those who are organizing these programs, they are thinking that we organized this last year, we organized so many years, we are doing it again this year. So you should also come for that and participate in this 24-hour concert or 24-hour kirtan, whatever they call it. So it becomes, goes that understanding has changed there. It all becomes spiritual only if there is even a trace of motive behind it, only then it is spiritual. I will give you the example. Any spiritual activity, if it is performed properly, it has to have that peace inside. Peace has to come from within. The Atma Sukham, they call it. The happiness that experienced inside from the soul. In all the great devotees' cases, it is that happiness what they experienced in their spiritual life, which came out from them in the form of the song. Remember, we discussed this before also. They did not sit and write the poetry. That is why many, many songs what devotees wrote later on in their life, you can't take all of them on board. Those songs which has come out in a natural way from those great devotees who in their ecstasy of these spiritual realizations, when in their spiritual consciousness gone up so high, their realization came out in the form of music, and that is what we consider as kirtanam. That is kirtanam. Like Mirabhai's cases and Gopi's cases. So many great, great personalities, it has come out from them in their ecstatic relationship with Krishna. So, we'll give an example. So, they never worked for anything in this world, to get something in this world, and nothing to gain in this world. On the other hand, how could they do that? That is the important question. How could they do that? You can see this, that Tyagaraja's case, which I will bring back again, because he is one of the personality who in his devotion to Ramachandra, what he did in this world. Dharma, the songs if you read, they are not very complicated words. Simple language he has spoken. You can see them also. That he mentions to Ramachandra like this. He says there, Telisi Rama Chintado Chintanato. He says to Ramachandra, he says to him that, Tyagaraja says to him that, why am I chanting your name? He says to Ramachandra like this, that I want to experience you. I want to experience you, Ramachandra. I want to experience you. So, always Ramachandra, Tyagaraja's songs, you will see this. He will say like this, that what is the point that if I am chanting your name, if I am not getting that experience in me, what is the use of my chanting? This is what... He never asked anything from Ramachandra directly like this. He said, if I am chanting your name, if I am not experiencing that, Ramachandra's name, experience means anubhavam, all that, realization of Ramachandra. If it's not happening in me, where is going, things are going wrong? What's going wrong in my chanting? He's asking this question. And he mentions that when he was a child, you know that he had a very difficult background. He was another Sudama-style life, extreme poverty. And he had his brother, Japyesha was his brother, and they lived together. Brother had his wife and children, and Tyagaraja was alone. And whole day he will spend in Kirtan, singing about Ramachandra. So the brother was getting a bit fed up that he won't do anything, simply staying home and no help in the family, but prasadam, sharing everything. So brother couldn't handle it for long. You can't blame him because he was like an ordinary person in this world. What can you do? You're struggling hard to keep the whole thing together. And in those days there was not many jobs or opportunities to make a living, isn't it? Main occupation was agriculture. And they coming from their background, what will the brahmana do? The brahmana will go and do some deity worship, or the lifestyle was so simple and they were so poor as well. So what has happened to him was that Tyagaraja is concerned that Tyagaraja had a great musical talent, unbelievably high musical talent. He could sing very well. And one day, the Sharabhoji Maharashtra king was ruling Tamil Nadu at that time. Sharabhoji Maharaja, he was traveling on a horse, heard him singing, Tyagaraja singing, and was very captivated by that. In Tanjore was their kingdom headquarters at that time. And he sent a messenger to bring that boy into the court to sing. And Tyagaraja was brought into the court. Sharabhoji Maharaja was there. And Japyesha was very happy that the king has invited my brother to sing in the court. So his teacher, the music teacher, they sent a chariot to take the student and the teacher into the palace. So the teacher and the student, they together traveled in the chariot into the palace. After going to the palace, and Tyagaraja sang there in front of Sharabhoji, King Sharabhoji there. King was so pleased with him that a very expensive necklace what he was wearing, he took it from his own neck and put it on Tyagaraja. Tyagaraja was only 5 years old at that time. You will see this all there. It is not a very old history. Tyagaraja lived somewhere between 1750 to 1850 in that age group and that period. So while coming back, his teacher was very happy what has happened. My student has won such a great recognition, isn't it? So, and teacher looked at the Tyagaraja. Tyagaraja was crying. He was crying. Young lad, he has got all this recognition from the king. Normally, nowadays you look at children, the parents only want, when will my son will appear in the television first? This is today's parents. Or the daughter, for that matter. Where will he get the recognition first, isn't it? That's how in the modern world. But there, he didn't have so many opportunities then. And there you can see here what happened was, he goes to him. Then when they coming back, so Tyagaraja was crying. And Tyagaraja was very good in compiling songs. So good he was. He's asking, in different ragas he could compile very nicely. In a particular ragam, he says to him, it's a famous one, Kalyana, he says, Sangeeta Jnanamo Bhakti Vinashanamo Elade Manasa. It's a famous song from Tyagaraja. He says, this recognition of knowledge of the Sangeetam is important, or Bhakti is important. He is asking at that age to his teacher. Teacher is saying to him, what has happened to you, Tyagaraja? That you have been recognized by the king, and I feel so happy, why you are not feeling happy? He says to the teacher, from now on, you won't get me for this. I don't want any of these things. You can see that the heart of that people, those people, they thought music is for pleasing Krishna and Krishna alone. Nothing else. If music is not pleasing Ramachandra or Krishna,
then it's not music anymore. Nowadays you see what music is. Except pleasing Krishna and Ramchandra, everything else is music today. Isn't it? So that was the state of their way of thinking. If it's not glorifying Krishna or Ramachandra, it's not music anymore. It's all waste of time, that's what he's saying. What is the use of knowing all this Sangeetam, knowledge of the music? Yagaraja was very adept in all the ragas and because one of the founders of the Carnatic tradition itself. After Purandaradas, there were the trinities. Tyagaraja Swami, Muthuswami, Dikshita, Shyama Shastri, there were three of them, very close to each other in their lifespan. And they were very amazing musicians, they were. Their knowledge and their upasana strength. Muthuswami, Dikshita, and you will see the difference in all their compositions also. Tyagaraja was Ramchandra's devotee. All his songs, because of that, is pure bhakti. Pure bhakti. Muthuswami Dikshita, he was the devotee of Sri Parvati Devi. Therefore, what happened? In all his compositions, if you look, you will see the Tantra Shastra, Mantra Shastra coming very forcefully in all the songs what he wrote. Highly knowledgeable and highly musical as well. Ordinary people won't be able to relish that music. We will not be able to relish that music because unless you are highly knowledgeable about the terminologies and also the those who have got that feel for that music only can appreciate that. But classical music is like that anyway. So Muthuswami Dikshita was like that. Shyama Shastri was a different nature, and our Tyagaraja was like this. So Tyagaraja comes there that he is asking this question. You can have this necklace. He takes it and gives it to the teacher and says to him that if I get invited into the palace, you may put the crown on my head tomorrow. What's the use, he says. So they were so clear in themselves that if music is not for pleasing Krishna, then it's all a waste of time. It's all a waste of time. So he says that this king's assembly will not suit me. Will not suit me. I like to live in Ramchandra's kingdom, he says. Me and Ramchandra together. Nothing else. That's where I like to sing, he says. And he wrote, compiled many, many songs with this understanding of... So they get back home, and when they get back home, the teacher told him that he won this, and Japesha's brother was very happy that he's got this necklace expensive ones. So at least temporary material problems are solved. That's how the poor brother is thinking like that. So for a few days he was nice to Tyagaraja. But after that, when Japesha thought that, he had to struggle hard to keep his living going in this world. So he says to Tyagaraj, when he was invited again back to the palace to sing, Tyagaraja refused. When he refused, his brother got very angry about it. He says, a golden opportunity has come and you have kicked it out now, kicked it off like this. You don't want to go. And what are you doing here, he said. So that is time. And different songs, every time he gets disturbed, he will go to Ramchandra and sing a song about him. There he is asking him, is that king's assembly is nice for me or your association is good for me? Rama, Sannidhi Sukhama, your Sannidhi is good for me or that assembly is good for me. That's a song like that he wrote about it. So many, many songs he wrote. And then one day what happened was, Japyesha, his brother, says to him, I can't feed you anymore. I don't have any income and I'm so limited within myself and... We won't understand all these things. Why? Because we throw food into the street, isn't it? What do we understand about the value of the food? We have got GM food now, if there is any shortage too. And that's how our brain has gone like this. Can't even understand any finer feelings in this world. So, but in them days, there was no GM food and there was no excessive food. Properly food was grown in the normal way, like without any of this modern methods, isn't it? So there wasn't a large quantity of food and it was always considered very precious by the people. They respected food to such an extent. So what happened was, Japesha says to him that I can't feed you. So Tyagaraja goes back to Ramchandra and says to him, what is the use, he says. He took one pot, tied it around his neck and went Unchavati. They call it as Unchavati. Unchavati means you'll go to few houses
and they won't look into the pot. They will sing, and at that time they will put a handful of rice or dal into that pot. Different families, few houses, as soon as he realizes the pot is half full, enough for him for that day, he'll stop. He won't go anymore. Come back, and whatever the rice and dal is there, he'll cook and eat that. That's what started. He started doing that. So when this was going on, because Japesha refused feeding him anymore, Tyagaraja was doing this. So one day he sat down and he says to Ramchandra like this, "If I go to king's palace, I will get a very first class feast. Mm-hmm. And that feast will be full of yogurt, butter and ghee. If that meal is good, or this one what I got from the people with this rice and dal, what I bet here, without any ghee, no butter, nothing, is this better? This tastes better," he says to Ramchandra. "Because I enjoy this more than that feast, what I will get in the king's palace." He says there that Dadhi Navanida Kshiramu Rujiyo Dasharadi Dhyana Bhajana Sudarshamu Rujiyo. Dasharadi Dhyanam, that means Rama's, Ramchandra's Dhyanam, meditation, and Bhajana, what is better? Or is this Dadhi Navanida Kshira Rujiyo? Dadhi is yogurt, isn't it? Navanidam butter. And Kshiram is milk. All that together, very nice feast in the king's palace. Is that nice? Or Rama Saniti Sukhamo, sitting in Ramchandra's association and singing Ramchandra's glories is better. So that was his question to him. So here you see that Tyagaraja mentioned this to him. So Mamada Bandha Narastuti Sukhamo. If I go there, what I get, people will tell me that you have done very well. They will glorify me. The result is that I will become in bondage. I will get bound. Mamada bandhana. Bandhana means bondage. Narastudi. Narastudi means people glorifying me. Because devotee, proper devotee's attitude is like that. He doesn't want any recognition in this world. He doesn't want any followers. For him, what is important is, how much has he praised Krishna? That is matters to him. So here you can see that nowadays it is so different, isn't it? You have to get so many titles, isn't it? That you are so good in dancing, so good in music, half a kilometer long titles. You have to get it from them. Only, and what will happen with all that? Tyagaraja is saying, all that will do to me is my ego will get boosted. Will get boosted that because of that. So, Tyagaraja's point to us, what is the point in them glorifying me? I don't want their glorifications. If I want anybody to appreciate me, it should be you, he says to Ramchandra. If you says to me that I am singing nicely, I feel happy, he said. This is devotee. Devotee doesn't want recognition from anywhere else in this world. That's all waste of time, they know very well. They know that real recognition is when Krishna recognizes, or Ramchandra recognizes. And did this happen? How did it happen? In Banaras at that time, there was a great sannyasi who was also a devotee of Ramchandra. One night during the sleep, Ramchandra appeared to him. If you want to hear about singing about me, go and see Tyagaraja, he says to him. And in the sleep, Lord Ramchandra even instructed that devotee sannyasi that where Tyagaraja lives, and he walked all the way from Banaras to his village, Tyagaraja's village, where he lived at that time, Tiruvayur, walked such a long distance to hear about Ramchandra. So when this sannyasi appeared one day, suddenly at the doorstep, Tyagaraja didn't know anything about it. He comes to him and says to him that, "I heard about you." He says, "Who told you about me?" He's coming from Banaras. He says, "Ramchandra told me that I should hear about you from your singing." And that night, very day, he sang, Tyagaraja sang. At night time, he says to Ramchandra, "Today I felt I have been recognized by you." That's how he felt. That because when Ramchandra said, or a devotee says, that is recognition for a devotee. About this, Ashadhira Dhuradeshe, he says that song, that from such a long distance he has come here to hear about me singing about about Ramachandra. So, as far as devotees are concerned, it is not for the applause from the world or from recognition from the world anything they do, and that is without any desire for the results. So, Tyagaraja and Sharaboji, the King Sharaboji, so once when he realized, the king, that Tyagaraja won't come to the palace, once it so happened that Kaveri river bank he was walking through, our Tyagaraja, singing Ramchandra's glories. Sharaboji Maharaja went there and put some gold coins into that pot. After a while, he saw the pot is, he didn't recognize that Sharaboji has done this, because Tyagaraja was in such an ecstasy singing about Ramchandra. When he saw later on, there were gold coins in that. There were some rice also in the same pot. He took the whole rice and the gold coins, everything into the Kaveri river and threw the whole thing into the Kaveri river. This is how he was. Doesn't want anything from this world, any recognition. He didn't want anybody to give anything. He will only accept what is bare minimum for the body to maintain in this world. So, why am I saying, coming back to that verse, because we have to say all these things to get to understand that verse properly. So I'm saying this. So, he threw everything. What is that? Vairagyam inside. That Vairagyam inside. That he is, he was a single person at that time. People put pressure on his brother. Get him married, everything will be alright, they said. Got married. What happened? Yeah, brother had to feed one more person now. Till now he had to feed only Tyagaraja, now he had to add one more to it. So, this brother, he was a normal person like us. You know, when we have a problem, what do? We consult each other and say, what should I do? So, somebody, they call Tasildar, I think, at that time. Now that position is not there anymore. So, the Tasildar, he had a friend, this Japyesha, his brother had a friend. Brother gave him advice. These things will go, this bhakti and all won't last very long. Once he gets married, she will train him up properly. Everything will be okay. She'll make him work and he'll go to work day and night and all problems will be sorted, she said. So, Japyesha thought that if I get him married, naturally there will be family life will start and everything will be sorted. But here, this family life was never sorted. What happened was, another member in the family, and Japyesha had to feed her also, the wife. So, then he goes back to the person whom he was consulting. Mundane level, this is what people do, isn't it? So, that person told him, no, wait, he has just got married only, isn't it? Wait for more time, let them have a child, and see how things will change, everything will change. They had the child, and it was a Sankirtan party. From, oh no, Japyesha didn't know what to say. Brother, wife, child, sitting together and chanting whole day. No, and who is going to feed them? Our temple commanders will say, that's enough, Prabhu, your service is enough. They'll tell you to leave. If you don't service and all up to a certain level, everywhere it's like that, isn't it? So, what happened was that our Tyagaraja understood the situation, and that's when he started going outside and they started bringing. And so, all these things is spoken here that for them, what is important here is, distress is not important for them. They can manage, handle it. Every distress in life, they can handle it. They are thinking, some prarabdham I have got to sit here in this family like this, with my so-called wife and child and brother and family members and all that. Some prarabdham, that will be finished one day. So, when going through all this prarabdham, attention is still in Krishna, in Ramachandra. This is devotee. This is devotee. So, while we'll explain that verse, then you will see the relevance of all these things, what I'm saying now. That they live with what they got, but attention is always in Krishna. Attention is always in Krishna. So, this situation is called dhyanam. When we say dhyanam, normally we think you go into some institution. They say we have meditation classes for 50 plus people, or for age 50 plus, special meditation course for them, £20 you pay.
That is not considered actually dhyanam. Dhyanam is this, that in a natural way, our attention and shraddha is always in Krishna, always in self-realization, always on the soul, always in spiritual understanding. To live like that in this world, that means all your attention, natural way, it has turned into spirituality. That is dhyanam. That is dhyanam. So, how did that happen? How did that happen? We are also doing chanting. We are also doing deity worship. Tyagaraja also is doing chanting. Tyagaraja is also doing worshipping the deity. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also worshipped the deity. Isn't it? But where did this difference come then? What's the difference? One is abhyasam, the other one is with knowledge. That is the difference. We are practicing it. They have got the knowledge in them. That is what that verse is saying. Jnanal dhyanam vishishyate. Dhyanam accompanied with the jnanam is good. That is what that actually means. Jnanal dhyanam, you can make that meaning in two different ways. Literal meaning you can say dhyanam is better than jnanam. But proper way to understand is dhyanam executed combined with the jnanam is perfect. That is the way you have to understand that verse. Otherwise it is making no sense at all. It's making no sense at all. These things you have to understand, you have to read the Bhashyam, otherwise you won't get it. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal. Jnanal dhyanam vishishyate. So dhyanam means this, that complete absorption in Krishna under all circumstances. Whether you are struggling in this world, lot of distress is coming in this world, in spite of all that, totally surrendered to Krishna, like Tyagaraj, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like many others, all of them had this one quality in them. What is that? They had the dhyanam inside, all the time, in that surrender. Surrendered state to Krishna. No matter what happens here, their dhyanam is surrendered to Krishna. Combined with knowledge. Combined with knowledge. So, jnanal dhyanam vishishyate means that. That's the way you have to understand that verse. Otherwise, it won't make any sense. Don't make any sense. In other words, what you have to remember here is, the difference between us and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is this. Ours is abhyasam. We are trying it out. It may happen one day, we don't know when this will happen. We don't know. It can take probably many lifetimes. But Mahaprabhu's practice is not abhyasam. It is happening out of jnanam inside. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is due to jnanam inside that jnanam is coming. For us, it is abhyasam. It's not happening because it's abhyasam. When you do abhyasam, what happens when you are walking on a rope? Abhyasa means few times you will fall. You have to fall, isn't it? So you will keep falling. One day when it gets it right, then it will become perfect. It will become perfect. So, in other words, so, therefore Krishna is saying here, Shreyohi jnanam abhyasa. Krishna is saying here, with abhyasam. Why abhyasam has come there? Abhyasam was brought in there. That, you look at the words carefully, Shreyohi jnanam abhyasam. Two things here. Abhyasam with jnanam, dhyanam with jnanam. Two things are there in that verse, isn't it? The first line is saying, abhyasal jnanam, jnanal dhyanam. Both cases. If you do abhyasam without jnanam, it simply is a karma. Do you understand? Any abhyasam, any japam or meditation or puja or deity worship or whatever you do, that's abhyasam. But that abhyasam, if it is simply done as a karma, without knowledge means, without proper knowledge for what purpose you are doing all that, if it is done like that, it becomes simply a karma. Simply a karma it is. For example, the tennis players, they are also performing abhyasam, isn't it? Everybody, cricket players, football players, they have to go to for a Saturday evening match, Saturday morning or during the week they play. They do a lot of training, isn't it? That's abhyasam. Abhyasam is that, training. All the time training. tennis players, all sportsmen, musicians, they all train themselves all the time. But what's the difference? That abhyasam is a karma. It is simply a karma. So that's why Krishna is saying there, Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasal. If you are practicing abhyasa yoga, it should be combined with jnanam. Similarly, jnanam jnanam visheshade. Jnanam if you do with jnanam, it is correct. It is good. Otherwise, not good. It's not the other way. If you mistake in the wrong way, only then Bhagavad Gita will make sense. Otherwise, it won't make sense. Because earlier, Krishna has glorified the jnani to such a level, he can't put it down now like this, because then it will contradict with the earlier statement. Is it not? Yes or no? Yeah. So, shrayohi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal jnanam visheshade. That is those two lines. That if you practice any abhyasa yoga means japam, dhyanam, puja, deity worship, all of them is abhyasam. Abhyasam. And when this is executed, if it is not combined with proper knowledge, knowledge means not knowing in the brain. That's not the knowledge we are talking about. While doing that, if the heart is not there, bhavam is not there, it is a karma. That's all it is. That's what it means. Not that I understand theoretically how to do it. That's not the knowledge. This knowledge what Krishna is talking about is that abhyasam combined with proper bhavam inside. If it is done, that is good. Shayohi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal jnanam vishishare. Better than that abhyasam combined with jnanam is dhyanam combined with jnanam. That's what Krishna is saying there. But jnanam is a must for abhyasam, jnanam is a must for dhyanam as well. Jnanam as well. So, jnanal jnanam vishishare. So, so, dhyanam becomes perfect when it is combined with combined with jnanam. So because what I'm saying this is, there's a lot of this meditation courses going on, isn't it? All over. So many institutions are offering meditation. Half an hour, 1 hour, you come and pay these fees and they will teach you meditation, they say. That's not really, strictly speaking, it's not meditation in that sense. It's only based on the Bhagavad Gita. Now it is 5:30. I think we'll have to stop it. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, and we'll continue tomorrow.